welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed, indeed. 866-901-ADAM. It's time for How Say You. Any topic, any line. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Bald Brian.
Hello.
Let's see what we got going on today. Well, Jenna Jameson is going to call our porn star, but entrepreneur. Speaking of entrepreneurs, she's bringing Tito Ortiz from the Octagon with her, who was he the last guy kicked off Celebrity Apprentice?
I think Omarosa
or
was
he
last.
The one before?
Just before, I think.
He'll be in with her. I think they're a couple.
Yeah.
We'll do Last Week in Rage. I know it's been a long time coming. We'll give out some relationship advice, and we'll do Evil Adam, something we stumbled onto that everyone seemed to get into.
I know you'd like to pretend like it's not coming, but I have topical TiVo trivia today on my rundown. So.
Yes.
Y'all look forward to that.
A game that is very good for Bald Brian, because Bald Brian is very fast at trivia and spends almost no time in the company of others, especially women. Thus, he knows what's going on. But let's be fair. We played the first time and you nipped me by a millisecond on a question, on a tie-breaking question that I knew.
That really was close.
So, and then the second time you beat me, it was the movie that I had just seen where I actually named a couple of the people in it and I knew the movie. I just couldn't spit out the stupid title. Because it was one of those meteors going to hit the planet movies and end the world.
Deep Impact.
Deep Impact. And it came out, you know when it came out? It came out the same time, maybe this is horrible radio, but I'm going to figure this one out. Hilary Swank had another where they had to core to the center of the Earth, I think. And
It came out like 6 months before Armageddon.
Blow that one up, and then Armageddon. No, Deep Impact, I think, was after Armageddon.
Ooh.
Yeah. Go look that one up. I think I feel like it was 2 years after it, but go ahead and look it up. Anyway, it was one of those stupid. I couldn't spit out Deep Impact, even though I had watched half the movie on cable the weekend before.
I generally haven't seen any of the movies, and I'm waiting for us to do book titles.
Ah.
Look out, you guys. By the way, I think we're playing for a listener, Brian. $500 because No Country for Old Men comes out today.
Well, then I'm sure to win.
All right. Let's hop to the phones, speak to Rob. Rob?
Hey, what's up, Adam?
What do you got for me, Rob?
Real quick, I want to say I've been a huge fan for a long time. I'm probably one of the few people that actually has your book on my shelf. Yours and Dr. Drew's book.
Thank you.
And Adam, just day after day, you're hilarious.
Thanks,
and
Rob.
Teresa, you're great.
Thank you.
You rock. So last night, Insider, they were going through all the celebrities and their dance partners. They get to you and Juliana, and they basically just say, Juliana, looking beautiful in pink, and then skip right on to the next person.
Yeah, I didn't happen to catch that. I've seen a couple of things. I've seen them do that, the dance, what's the show called?
Dancing with the Stars.
Dancing with the Stars, starting to heat up, and they'll usually do the Marley Matlin thing because it's an interesting story because
right.
she's deaf.
Yeah.
And then they'll do the Priscilla Presley thing because she's old and because she's Priscilla Presley. And they have a couple of interesting stories in there. And then, one of the dancers had spinal fusion and they'll cover something. But you have to realize there's 12 dancers. And they'll usually get to about 3 or 4 of them when they do those kinds of things.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then I normally think, hey, what the F? And then I realize, there's probably 3 or 4 others they didn't get to as well. It's not like they got to 11 and didn't get to me. But my partner is probably the biggest star in the whole thing.
Yeah. Right, but isn't that kind of PR for you as well to kind of keep you around? I mean, really, at this point, I'm just hoping that, your fans...
Rob makes a good point because
in a week or two.
She has fans that will vote for you as a couple.
Right.
Right.
Well, she has fans that will vote for her, and thus... I will.
Unless you're stumbling over her the whole time.
I will get sucked into her atmosphere.
I understand that you've gotten quite a bit better. Is this true?
Inside information from Teresa Strasser.
Yes.
Well, the Jews have a lot of spies. Tangent.
Well, I am. I'm coming along. Yes, I'm. I'm learning the craft of dance, the art of dance, as I like to say. So, I don't know. Look, you know, she's 19. She's hot. She, you know, she just did some sort of bikini spread for like Fit magazine.
Shape or something.
She does. She does say funny things to me. Like once in a while, she goes, "Did you read my article in Vogue, girl?" I'm like,
Cosmo girl.
Whatever. I'm like, I have these great conversations with her where she go, "Did you read my article in Cosmo Girl?" And I go, "Well, I subscribed, so I got the I got it about 3 weeks ago. So yeah, I'd read it before I'd met you." And she's like, "Oh, really?" And I'm like, "No, I don't. I don't even know what that is. Are you high?"
Do you actually ask her if she's high? Because that would be funny. Thing is, she doesn't drink. She's a virgin.
No, she didn't know who Vince Lombardi was the other day. I almost threw up on the dance floor.
Well, yeah. I'll tell you this. My the TV Guide show I do on Deep Cable, TV mm-hmm. Water Cooler, mm-hmm. we tried to get a little inside footage of Adam Carolla's rehearsal. Mm-hmm. Denied.
Denied from who?
I don't know, your publicist. That I was too embarrassed to pull any strings. But
what? He doesn't have any.
I guess there's a list of people trying to tape your rehearsals.
Oh, I see. They want to show.
We were able to get, it was between Marissa, who I never see, the girl from Broadway, and Penn. We got Penn.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed he was wearing this thing around his neck and shoulders.
Yeah, I had to put one of those on, too.
What is that?
It looks like a yoke that an ox uses mm-hmm. to pull a cart, almost. It's something, it's like this. If you took, I had a great moment with the, ABC folks, you know, like, it's this thing. It's metal. You ever do that thing? Remember when you were a kid, you'd take like a broomstick and you'd put it behind your neck and you'd drape both mm-hmm. your arms over it for some reason? It's like that, but it bends around your neck, then it bends out again, and it's covered with foam rubber, and it's metal, and it's called like a harness or dance, whatever. And if you put it around your neck, place your upper arms on it, it sort of holds your neck, shoulders, and whatever in a proper position.
It trains your carriage.
Trains your carriage, right? We had to do this thing where... It's just I haven't had any breakdowns, any meltdowns, any rants, but the thing's about 3 foot long and it's made of metal. And we had to do a thing where she came in and presented it to me, and she goes, "I want you to use your dance." So she comes in, it's called a posture bar.
Okay.
So she comes in, she goes, "Here, I got this for you." And I said, "Oh, good. My IUD, I've been looking for that."
And birth control humor goes over very well in the Mormon
and
community.
And she's like, "Huh?" And I was like, "I'll explain it to you later, baby." And then, of course, the ABC guys were like, "Ah, it's very funny. Too bad we can't use it." And I'm like, "You advertise a birth control on your effing station." Yeah, we'll never be able to use that. And I'm always like, you don't know. You people don't know how many times I have been in a situation creatively, either on cable or network or wherever, where somebody made the proclamation that's very clever, that's very fast, that's very funny. Now let's go shoot another one. It's too bad we're not going to be able to use it. I didn't drop an N-bomb. I didn't say MF-er. I didn't say anything. As a matter of fact, this is something that gets advertised during prime time. Birth control, there's different forms of IUDs now. They're not as popular as they used to be. It's no big deal. There'll be a Viagra ad running during the course of this show, I'm sure, at some point. I didn't say anything filthy here. Why are we throwing the tape away? Yeah, they're never going to let us. And I'm always like, do we have to always just give up that easily? I said IUD. It's not a swear word. It's not initials. It's interuteral device. It's birth control. Birth control's accepted. It's advertised. There wasn't anything to it. I didn't lick it. I didn't kiss it. I didn't sniff it. You know what I mean? Like, why do we have to toss everything out that's funny and just announce, "Oh, we can't use it"?
Well, you have big plans for when the show goes live and ABC can't contain you.
Right. Well, that's when, of course, I go on my Jews responsible for 9/11.
I cannot wait.
I've heard from very many concerned people about that.
Well, look, I told Bergeron I'm going to need between 8 and 11 minutes.
Right.
That's an hour and a half show. Just give me 10% of the show. That's all. I'm not asking for 50% of the show. 10% of the show to pull a soy bomb. That's all. Anyway, it's good times. So my little partner is very easy on the eyes. Is in Shape magazine and all that kind of stuff. And sometimes they focus on her.
Yeah, and she's a very big star now.
Rightfully so. All right, let's see.
So Deep Impact came out May 1998, and Armageddon followed less than 2 months later. You're thinking of The Core, which was in 2003
tangent.
With Hilary Swank.
Mm-hmm. We're getting back to it. So Deep Impact.
How dare you?
Tangent.
With Taya Leone before Armageddon, but just a couple of mere weeks almost.
Correct.
All right, let's see. Future of Robots. What point is a woman... Let's see, wants to hear more characters from the show and the staff. How to deal with militant black co-workers. That sounds interesting. Dave?
Yes?
What's the problem, my friend?
He and I are good buddies, but he's like one of those guys that blame white guys for everything. Like
who, what? Said, who's who? Who?
Just white people in general.
I know, but a guy you work with?
Yeah.
All right.
And I'm a white guy. How do you deal with someone like that? And not be labeled a racist yourself.
Yeah, this is one of the brothers that I know this guy. I mean, I know these guys. They come in all different ways, shapes, or forms. I mean, essentially, they're racist. Just like there's white people that are racist, there's plenty of black people that are racist, and there are plenty of other races that are racist. As a matter of fact, I really think we're somewhere between the middle and the bottom of the pack when it comes to racism. We have a rich history of slavery. Whitey does. And when I say whitey, I don't necessarily just mean American whitey. I mean European whitey. So we, and partially and rightfully so, we get the racist. But in a way, that's not racist. That's business in a certain sense. And as soon as everyone gets their freedom, then we don't make any money from being racist. I think many Asian cultures, many Latin cultures, and well, head out to the Middle East and you can do some racist math over there as well, are that way. I don't know that you're going to talk him out of it. I think all you can do around somebody who's racist is set an example of somebody from another race that is a family person, that's a good coworker, that's a good friend, that's generous, that's honest. And then the next time he starts saying every white guy's this way, he will not say that about Dave.
Yeah, I totally agree. The more you're exposed to people from other cultures, the more it's impossible to be racist.
And then you get that, well, he's one of the good ones.
Yeah.
It's like the only good one. Yeah.
Well, the messed up thing is I'm good buddies with them while I work there. But the thing is, I try to bring up the Moors, where the case is Spain, white people were enslaved by actual African nations at a time. So.
Yeah, but listen, the whole history thing doesn't work very well. Because you get into that, whose land was here, and then who kicked who off the land, and then you go, this land was Mexico, and it's like, well, the indigenous American Indians were here before. You always get to someone before. So here's what I'm saying. You can go find a history book and disprove almost any point anyone is playing, but that is 500 years ago, and it's not even worth it. Just
yeah, you don't want to get in the debate. He's
a
coworker.
Have a cup of coffee with the guy and move on.
What business are you guys in, Dave?
Dave's nuts, by the way. You know that, right?
Security guards.
He is.
What are you?
Hey, Dave?
Yes.
Which, we security guards?
Yep.
All right, we'll shoot him.
they took my weapon away.
Oh, pepper spray. Do you have pepper spray?
Yeah, we have it.
No pepper spray.
Why'd they take your weapon, Dave?
I'm unlicensed, pretty much. Unlicensed and carrying anything remotely of protection.
Sounds like you have mental problems.
Can you
man.
Hang yourself with your shoestrings?
No, I'm not mental problems. It's like you as a construction worker, you have some skills you applied for and some skills you didn't apply for. I didn't apply for the...
Right.
Sanity.
But they never did take my tools away.
No, but I'm saying, you know, that when you get an apprenticeship, you get a journey card.
Yeah.
Journeyman, right.
And then I don't know how it is in carpentry, but I was a truck driver. You can apply as hazmat, or you can apply for triple trailers. It would be another level to that.
All right, well, back over him.
Stop it, Teresa.
No, but it would seem a basic level of security guard to have some sort of weapon.
It'd be great. Yeah, stop, or I'm going to throw this gum at you.
It's cinnamon.
It's cinnamon, and there's just enough flavor left in it to give you a good burning. Sugarless, of course, but tell your eyeballs that!
Dave had a sure tell of an insane person, which is he launches into a story with a background, but he doesn't give you the background, and he expects you to know what he's talking about. It's like,
when I scream
to call the love line, that's how you weed it out. Weirdos was people who were like, so there's this guy, blah, blah, blah. But,
yeah, no, it's true. I have a couple insane friends where they go like, Bert wanted to borrow money again, and I told him no can do, and you go, Bert Finkelman, our from high school? No, you don't know this guy. And I was like, yeah, well, then stop throwing his name around. Do you know the people that throw other people's names around as if you've heard them, and then halfway into it, when you're trying to connect the dots, Dave Jenkins, Dave Remington, Dave Sherwood, and they go, oh, no, you don't know this guy. It's like, well, don't toss his name out there. Then that's insane. I have a couple of those friends. You know what it is? When you want to know what's insane or stupid, you just have to think of what kids do. See, when kids do that, they go, Jimmy says that so and so, and you go, who's Jimmy? And Jimmy's the guy who sits behind them in the finger painting class.
Class hamster, yeah.
Right. It's a class hamster, right. You would have no idea. Think about what kids do. Think about what insane people do. Think about what dumb people do. It's the same thing. That's why I always say writing a book, doing anything for kids is a cop-out. It's as if you said, I'm going to write a book for dumb people.
When you said, think of things that kids do, almost all of your friend Ray's personality traits came to mind.
Well, he's more chimpanzee, but all right. We'll take a quick break. More of your calls coming up next.
You're listening to Free 2 HD.
That's right. Y'all already locked on 97.1 Free 2 HD.
Hey, if it's Adam Carolla all day, you gotta have some crank yankers, right? Here's another great one on 97.1 Free 2 HD.
Hello?
Hello, is this Camille?
Yes.
Oh, the charm lady, the etiquette lady.
Speaking, please.
This is Gladys Murphy. Camille, girl, I need some charm real f***ing fast, boy. Hook me up, girl.
Do I know you?
No, a friend of mine gave me your number. She said she saw you on TV and you know all that shit, all that good etiquette shit, and I need some of that. Girl, I got a date tonight with this big old rich successful cocksucker, and I got to impress him. I can't let this one get away.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, that's the first thing, right? When something, you don't talk over people, right? I know that shit, right?
Do you want to pay my fees?
Of course. Ain't nothing for free. And once I get this rich motherfucker, girl,
excuse
I can pay you
me,
all
excuse
day.
Excuse me. Hmm? I don't use that kind of language.
All right, I knew that shit. My bad. I got to let this dude know I'm a classy bitch, baby.
Hold on. Okay. I recognize that you're in need, but mm-hmm. I'm also a professional who works with corporate clients.
Okay, well, you know, give me a couple tips. Just give me a couple things, and then
I can tell you one.
What's that?
Got to clean up your language.
What? Mean like what? Don't say ain't and double negatives and shit like that.
Because
I
fuck
that up all the time. I'm always saying shit like, you know.
Yeah, but you're talking to me, and I don't teach that kind of thing.
Right, so I got to stop all that all the double negatives and the ain't.
You did it again.
What, I said ain't?
No, you say shit.
Oh, shit, okay.
That's not a proper word.
That's not a proper tip, number one.
And number two, when you call someone, you have to give your name and tell why you're calling.
Okay, so I should have
started. Number three, you don't just keep talking. Are you on drugs?
No, girl.
Well, you act like
I smoke weed, but I don't have none right now.
Uh-huh. Okay.
All right. But, okay, so should I offer him some weed when I see him tonight? Get him high? Then fuck him and take his money?
Thank you, but I think I have to go now. Bye-bye.
Oh, don't. Come on, come here. I need.
I'm David Tell, and you're listening to 97.1 Free 2 HD. I can't stop saying letters. Q.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. And now a word from the most important person here, Program Director Jack Silver.
Just call me client number 9, beeps. On today's show, we play a little catch-up on last week in Rage. T and the Ace Man dish out a little relationship advice. A new round of Evil Adam. Your chance to win $500 during our TiVo trivia game. And porn legend Jenna Jameson. Oh, sweet. She's like the Amelia Earhart of adult film. If Amelia Earhart did anal gangbangs. Wait.
Thank you, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, back to the phones we go. John has a question. John?
Hey, Adam.
What's happening, John?
Oh, I'm on the speakerphone. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Hey, better. Hey, I would love, first of all, I'm a huge fan of the show, longtime listener, and I love both you and T. Really happy with the changes you guys made to the programming recently.
Thank you.
And I would love to hear your perspective on at what point in a relationship you need to tell a girl that you love her, mm-hmm. that she's expecting to hear that.
Well, let's see if we can break this down. It's going to vary from girl to girl. It's going to have to do with being exclusive. It's going to have... You can't be... Here's the thing. Whether they admit it or not, once you're having regular exclusive sex with this person, it's going to need to come up, and it also kind of matters on the age. You have to factor in a few things. But I would say if you're 6 months in and you're having exclusive sexual relationship, obviously if you're living with somebody, that's a given. If you're exclusive, that helps. If you're having steady sex with her and she with you and nobody else, I would say somewhere in the 2 to 6 month range.
Yeah, I was feeling 2 months.
You can always take it back.
You can't take it back.
Well, you don't have to take it back, but it's like, you know, something you borrow that you never return. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know what it's like? It's like once in a while when your buddy has a pool party. And no, better yet, you go to your buddy's house. It's a party. It's not a pool party. But you get drunk and somebody pushes you into the pool. So what do you do? Well, he loans you a hoodie and some sweatpants. What happens? Never get returned. That's what saying I love you is a lot like. And he doesn't hold it against you because it was his buddy that pushed you into the pool.
Right. He knew he wasn't getting it back.
That's right. John?
Yeah.
How long have you been in this relationship?
2.5 months.
You're right. You're right on the cusp.
How often do you see her during any given week?
Two, three, four times.
And you spend the night over there?
She spends the night over here a lot.
Three or four times a week?
Mm-hmm.
It's time, John.
You're 35. No, no, no. How old is she?
She's 25.
10 years. All right. And I was, you know, I factored age in, but it's really not that big a factor.
Well,
from
high school on. Do you love her?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
Do you think you might grow to love her?
What's that?
Do you think you might grow to love her?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. It's a problem.
This is damn exciting stuff.
This is awesome. Sorry to bother you with your own question, by the way, Nimrod.
No,
I think John's real question is not when should he say I love you, but why can't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, if. Maybe she doesn't sound like your soulmate, John.
Wow.
I don't think it's this girl. I think this has been an ongoing problem, right, John?
Yeah, that's right.
You have intimacy issues.
Is that it?
Yes.
Dynamite.
Here's what I'm going to say. Look, you can tell someone you love them and still break up with them 6 months later.
Yeah.
So you may as well just say, I love you, so that the next 6 months aren't miserable before you break up.
That's a good point.
It gets tossed around. I love you gets sort of tossed around like religion gets tossed around. If you ask most guys in prison for murdering people, if they believe in God, they'll say yes. And if you ask them, yeah, but before you killed the elderly woman who lived next door to you, whose lawn you were mowing, did you believe in God? And they'd say yes. So if you can believe in God and then go out and take another life, surely you can tell someone you love them and then break up with them 6 months later. We do a ton of this in our society. Everybody who does everything wrong says, I mean, I'm sure most criminals, murderers, arsonists, and everyone else would consider themselves honest, hardworking, God-fearing, good friends, good whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like, most guys who embezzle from their company probably think of themselves as honest and hardworking.
Yeah.
You can think of yourself in love or say you're in love with someone you're really not. It's just what we do as Americans. So just go ahead and do it so she doesn't make you miserable. And get out of your own head, John. You're way up in your head. You want to know if you're getting this thing. I don't know if I love you, but I don't know if I'm in love with you. I don't just say it to her.
If you want to see somebody 4 or 5 times a week, for a couple of months, there's a good chance you're falling in love with her.
All right. Somebody has a question about the future of robots. Oh. Dave?
Hey, Adam.
What do you think, Dave?
Well, first of all, I just got to say that I'm a gigantic fan for over 10 years, even though I'm only 23 years old.
Wow.
And Teresa and Brian could not be doing a better job, so thanks to all of you. I've called before, and I just want to say that... And I've said before, I'm going through a hard time in my life and everything, but you guys make me laugh every single day, and I think
you're that nerd.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
I got into radio for guys like you. I really did.
Thank you very much. Well, I did have a nerdy question about robots to ask because I am in the middle of watching Blade Runner.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to ask something more on a personal level, if you don't mind.
Sure.
You had said, I think it was on the message boards that you had said, like, when, you know, the whole Bonaducci thing was going down, you said, like, oh, I realized 6 months ago, this was, you know, in December or something, you said, I realized 6 months ago that he wasn't a good fit for the show, and I was wondering if there was a certain moment that it was that where you realized, like, oh, this just isn't going to work out. Was there a certain moment or segment or something like that where, for whatever reason, you realized...
That's a good question.
Yeah, it was the 6 o'clock break, January 2nd, 07. No,
Was it immediate?
No, because I don't... I mean, I know this sounds way too magnanimous or way too evolved. I don't enter any relationship with the expectation that it's not going to work out. I have said to many people, and I told Danny as much, I've had 2 different partners in my life. They're very different guys. Dr. Drew and Jimmy Kimmel are very different. And as a matter of fact, the hats I wore in those 2 relationships were very different. I'm readily admit that when I was with Dr. Drew, I was the lead guy. I was the guy who set up the things and went to commercials. It was sort of the Adam Carolla show with Dr. Drew. Most of the stuff I did with Jimmy Kimmel, I took a step back, and he was more of the lead guy. A little more of a 50-50 split, but when we do the man show, we'd come back from commercial, he'd oftentimes talk first, and he'd oftentimes throw it to commercial. Mm. I like that. It was less work for me, and same paycheck. So I have played it both ways. I've collaborated with a guy like Jimmy Kimmel, who when you collaborate with Jimmy Kimmel, you essentially go with what he wants to go with most of the time.
He's a
pretty headstrong guy.
Right.
And when you collaborate with Dr. Drew, you go with what you want to go with most of the time. So I thought of myself as very flexible. I had 2 partners. I am proud to say that in a business where everyone learns to hate their partners and they're no longer on speaking terms anymore, and historically all the great ones, especially in the comedy department, can't even be in the same room together, I delight in seeing Jimmy Kimmel and Dr. Drew whenever our busy schedules allow it.
Well,
so I said to Danny, quiet nerd, I said to Danny... I said to Danny, if we don't get along, it's not going to be because of me. And in fact, it wasn't because we didn't get along. I knew somewhere a couple of months in that Danny did what Danny does. Danny is 47 years old, or was 47. I think he's now 48. And there's not a whole lot of change that goes on in a man's life as he approaches 50, except for preparing to die. I was not going to talk him out of his style, his technique. It was like a guy's golf swing that he'd been doing since high school. It was effective for him. I felt like the club pro. I wasn't going to get that hitch out of his swing. That's the way he did it. And I knew from doing tons of improv, and let me say this without sounding like a blowhard, but here I go. Improv is one of these invisible things that people think doesn't exist, but it does. It's sort of like being a black belt. You can't tell when the guy's walking down the street if he's a black belt or not. Believe me, that guy's done a lot of training.
It's hey, you're the master of give and take, believe me. Like, he definitely lacked in the improv skills that you...
Quiet, I'm talking!
It's Ass Kiss Rodeo!
No. Dave, I know, as I get my compliment on give and take, I put him on hold so he doesn't give anymore.
take and take.
I don't have to take. No, Dave is right. No, look, again... it's too late. I sound like a blowhard. Here's the thing. Back to the black belt. You're presented a black belt. You don't get a black belt in improvisation. You don't get a gi, and you don't get a plaque. I had over 10 years of improvisational back and forth, group improvisational, lots of rules, lots of fundamentals, tons and tons of training, hours a night, every night, all through my 20s. I understood the dynamic. It's an invisible dynamic. It's not like other skills. I was a carpenter. I could come into your house and start talking about how your house was built, and you would immediately realize I was a carpenter. When it came to improvisational skills, nobody knew it. People say things like, he thinks fast on his feet, or he's funny, or he's easy to talk to. But that's not what it is. It's a skill. It's a training. Most people, sadly, in radio have no experience in it and are not interested in it. I knew, as someone who's worked with many people in the past on stage doing improvisation, some people were much easier to work with. Others were much more difficult. Danny is not a guy you would do that with in any circumstances. Now, does that mean Danny is not a strong personality? No. And does that mean he can't do his own radio show? Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, it helps to have the kind of personality that Danny has to go do his own afternoon show. I just knew 3-4 months in, because one thing I'm good at is sizing people up, sizing up their potential, that Danny would not work in that capacity. And furthermore, the other part of the brain I use to size up people's potential is not just a negative one, but it's a positive one. I knew Teresa Strasser was much smarter, much funnier, and had much more to say. I turned out to be wrong about that one. But that Bald Brian...
Sorry about that.
No, I knew that she was smarter, funnier, and had much more in her tank than she was able to get out onto the show because of the dynamic that I was having with Danny. And I also know how smart and how interesting and how potentially funny Bald Brian is as well.
Oh, for two.
I knew they were both going along at 30%, and I also knew that fundamentally this give and this take with Danny was not going to work. There was no event... I liked the guy personally. He was perfectly friendly. We didn't get into arguments. I just knew it was not a fit.
There might have been a couple seminal moments.
Oh, well, there was probably a couple of moments when he seemed a little out of it and so on and so forth. But overall, I just knew it wasn't a fit.
It was a vibe.
Would you say, am I on right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Would you say that there was ever a time where you felt that he wasn't being honest about his sobriety? Because there was a couple times where he did sound a little out of it.
His cough syrup day.
That sort of thing, yes.
Yeah, here's the problem with sobriety. There's a very loose definition. ask Jeff Conaway, because for some people, you're sober because you're not doing coke and you're not drinking Jack Daniels, but you're on a sleeping medication, or you're on a mood-altering medication, or you're on a serotonin reuptake inhibitor, or you had some surgery and you're on some cough medicine and that has some codeine.
Yeah.
I didn't really want to pry into what was going on with him from a medicinal standpoint. Yes.
There was a couple times when he was late, especially, that he sounded like he was either hungover or drunk. Like I.
Well, the other thing about Danny is Danny has a motor, and that motor will keep him chock full of Red Bull energy drinks and pull all-nighters and do things like where he's in the gym at 3 a.m. and so on and so forth. So I never knew with Danny if it was fatigue, if it was getting punched in the head, if it was too many Red Bulls, if it had something to do with his cough medicine. I really wasn't interested in the details, to tell you the truth. For me, I just understood that he was not a good fit for this show from an improvisational standpoint, and not a bad guy, not a bad personality, thus, as a matter of fact, too much personality,
right,
and needed to go do his own show. It was abundantly clear to me, as many things are early on, although I then turned blue in the face trying to convince others of something that I'm painfully aware of at a very early stage in the relationship.
I thought when he first started here, he seemed sober to me for a couple months all the time, and I found him very charming, and I thought he did a much better job initially. There are now, I have to say now, sometimes I am concerned about his sobriety, and I hope he's able to maintain it.
I do as well, and I have no idea, and thank you, Dave. And I'm not dodging any questions, but people say to me all the time, is this person cheating on that person? Is this person sober? Is this person high? Is this person sick? Is this person this? Is this person that? And I always go, I don't know.
We don't know.
I don't know. And partly not knowing is saying, I don't care. It really is. I know it sounds cold. It's his business. Your sobriety is your business,
right,
in my opinion. Now, if you want to come on my show and not be sober, then maybe it becomes my business. But ultimately, I wish him well. I wish everybody, especially if you're struggling with addiction, well. And that's about as far as I'm going to take it. All right. We need to take ourselves a break. When we come back, something we couldn't get to because I talked too much at the beginning of the show. Last Week in Rage. Let's see. What do we have? The song Tainted Love by Soft Cell.
And Danny Noriega.
Have to go off on that. Speed Limit to Vegas. Go off on that. The Viva Viagra ad. Oh, boy. Fast food ads. I guess it must be the latest Carl's Jr. one, where if it doesn't get all over the place, it doesn't belong in your face.
Very timely. I don't know.
There's a new one. They have a chili burger.
Oh, with the guy with the chili all over his face.
It's just slopping all over the place.
Yeah, it's yellow on your face, and it's literally all over
his
face.
Right. And talking about NAFTA and borders and every other topic instead of the real problem this country faces, that is politicians, which is people having too many kids. All right, quick break. Week in Rage next.
This is 97.1 Free HD2, The Adam Carolla Show now, and The Adam Carolla Show later, and all day. Face it, you love crank yankers. Well, here's another one on 97.1 Free 2 HD.
Thank you for calling Bob Lou Theater Company. This is Soterios. How can I help you?
Hi, Soterios. I'm calling about lining up some tickets to see your play.
Which day do you want to come?
I'd like to come next week.
Okay.
I'm coming with a group.
And I okay.
Need 23 tickets.
Oh, okay.
I'm coming with my OCD support group. How long is the play?
About an hour and a half, 2 hours-ish.
120, that's an even number. Is there any way they can make it like 119 minutes or 121 minutes? I know it sounds crazy, but we're with the OCD group. Obsessive compulsive disorder.
I figured that, that would be.
We don't, as you can imagine, get out much. Okay, now let's just talk about the characters in the play. There's none named Colin, are there?
No.
Okay, because that would send us through the roof. Okay, and what about every time a character says no? We've got a guy that stands up and spins around.
No, I'm sure no is mentioned in the play every now and then. And
he could spin in the aisle?
Yes, he could.
Okay. Now, is it a problem that Bruce screams astronaut whenever he sees a man with a crew cut?
If it turns out that it will disrupt the rest of the performance, the house manager might ask him to leave.
Right, right. Oh, I understand. Okay. Is it possible that the group can watch the actors wash their feet after the play?
No.
Okay, because the group will bring a tub if necessary. It's like a little wash tub.
No, that won't be necessary. They'll wash their feet when they get home.
Okay. All right. And then one last thing. At the end of the play, they can't bow at the end because George will freak out and throw a shoe at the stage?
That's an outstanding tradition that we have at not only this theater, but every theater, that the characters do indeed need a bow at the end of the play.
Okay. Maybe they could just sit at the end.
No, that they cannot
do. Or do a frog stand?
No, I apologize. No.
Okay. All right. Great. And what is your name again?
Soterios.
Would you be able to change that to Neil?
I will not change my name.
What if we threw an extra $20 in?
No, I won't.
$30?
No.
How about $100?
No, I won't change my name.
Okay. Okay. God, you've been very helpful.
Well, thank you.
Nipolopoulos?
No.
Okay, Stereopolis. Do you take Discover?
No, we don't. We only take Visa and MasterCard.
Oh, I'm sorry then. Well, thank you for your help anyway.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm Jay Moore, and you're listening to 97.1 Free 2 HD.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. In theaters March 21st, Adam Carolla in The Hammer.
Okay, and uppercut.
Oswaldo Sanchez, everybody.
Thanks
for covering for me.
Thank you.
You go vomit in the men's room.
The Hammer, in theaters March 21st. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
We got a nice review in the Daily Variety.
Hollywood Reporter.
All right. Yeah, we got a good one in the Variety some months back. I can't remember when it was. I'll pull it off the newsstand and put it in my memory glass. All right. This Week in Rage, five topics, all loaded up from last week. Didn't get to it on Friday. Well, technically it becomes last Week in Rage. Oh, Mike writes down the 8 or 12 things that piss me off during the course of the week. I go ahead and circle 5 of them. You guys vote on them, and we go from number 5 to number 1 starting now.
This Week in Rage.
I'm angry.
What a dick.
I pay taxes, bitch.
What? Number 5.
The only thing worse than a crappy song is one that gets played and played and played and then remade. And when I saw little Manuel Noriega sing that baby, little Pineapple Head sing that song on American Idol last week, I about brought up my Hungry Man Salisbury steak dinner into my dog's lap. And then timeless, isn't it? Jeez, what decade is this from? Soft Cell, Tainted Love. And I don't get angry that people make crap for music. I get mad that I have to hear it over and over and over again. And then they take the dumbest people you and I know. They take essentially people that are unemployable. They take people, they test people. But think about people they test. What if somebody said to you, Teresa, or anybody listening on your way to work, Carolus, turn your radios off for 1 second. I'm not going to count my family. But what if someone said to you, hey, next Tuesday at about, 1 p.m., how about you show up to a room? We'll give you $10 and you can listen to 1,000 songs and vote on it. Would that be the cream of the crop? Would that be the best and the brightest? Oh, yeah. Hey, I got some depositions to do over at my law firm, but you know what? I'm going to have to put that on hold. I got to go test music. Yeah, I run my own company. It's a mortgage finance company, or I'm running one of the biggest construction outfits in North America, but I got to take time off so I can go down to Jack FM and they can test a couple of crappy songs on me. No, they take retarded people and they play retarded. retarded people songs. And just like I say all the time, retarded and kids, no difference. I have two-year-olds. You know what they like? They like the crap they heard the day before. And you know what they like better? The crap they heard 2 days before that. And you want to know, what it is? It's the same crap. Familiarity.
Repetition.
That's why I feed my dog the exact same food, Purina One, every single day. And Molly never looks up and goes, what? Purina One lamb flavored. Like, I ate that yesterday. Nope. She digs right into it with a big S-eating grin on her face. Why? She's a dog. She's dumb. And people that are dumb respond to the familiar. And thus, the smart people get to be tortured by songs like this. And then that little puss bringing it up on American Idol. Inexcusable. All right, sorry. Just drove home in my Subaru STI WRX Impreza from Las Vegas. Getting a lot of plugs in this week in Rage.
That's impressive.
Hauling ass with a full back seat full of Purina One. Driver.
You could see where you were going because of that LASIK.
That's right, surgery. That's right. Said no transporting backyard fruit, but didn't say anything about doggy kibble as I sped through the night air in the desert on the way back from Las Vegas. But I thought to myself, that car has all-wheel drive, road-sensitive suspension, anti-lock brakes, huge, you know, four piston calipers. I mean, the aerodynamics involved with today's car. Remember when you're driving along in your dad's old station wagon with the bias ply tires and you could hear the wind whistling through every crack and orifice? Like, remember, my mom had a VW Squareback. Thin, and by the way, we were Corolla. She bought tires called retreads. They were, she actually figured out a way to buy used tires. There were tires that had other treads or a new tread put on them. That with, you know, drum brakes on all four corners and a leaf spring suspension. That car was unsafe at any speed.
Tangent.
Okay, what was the speed limit? What was the speed limit? 65. 65 miles per hour in a death trap with a waist seat belt, no airbags, no crumple zones, no nothing. When you get in a modern day car, when you get in a real car with real tires and real suspension and real engine, and you go to Vegas and you're obeying the speed limit, it feels like you're crawling. We need to raise it. Why? Well, because the cars are much safer at the speeds they're traveling. A car today traveling 90 to Vegas would be safer than my mom's VW Squareback at 50 30 years ago. Let's raise it. You're not building the goddamn bullet train. How about we get our own bullet train? It's called a Subaru.
Number three.
I'll be fast on this one. That Viva Viagra ad, where the nine white guys and the one token black guy sit around. I find it condescending when they toss in the one black guy. If that one black guy's jamming with the five other square, super square white guys, and they all went to some generic barn. And by the way, what goes on in barns that guys at Madison Avenue think every third commercial needs to be shot in an effing barn?
That's a Dave Matthews Band video.
Every single commercial is a bunch of guys standing around in a barn, and they're strumming their guitars, and they're talking about pork and their old ladies. And if you look at those Viagra ads, not this one, but most of them, the guy's usually 61 and his old lady's 38. What's going on there?
That's why he needs a Viagra.
Definitely a trophy wife situation. Anyway, the king should roll over in his grave here in that crappy Viva Viagra song. Fast food ads about the sloppy burgers. The biggest culprit in this crime is Carl's Jr. First, they start with like the 9-foot-tall basketball player dropping it all over his tennis shoes and making the big splat sound. Now they got a new chili burger where a guy's eating it, and then their slogan is, "If it doesn't get all over the place, it doesn't belong in your face." What? That's my kids' slogan when they eat mac and cheese with their hands, you idiots. That's not what adults do. And yes, I enjoy chili, and yes, I enjoy chili burger, but I don't want it all over the front of my goddamn shirt. I'd like it in my mouth. And by the way, I'm watching a guy eat, and he basically just looks like, to me, like he went down on a corpse. I don't want to get anything near that commercial, and it's repugnant. I want to vomit. All right.
Number one.
pussy politicians talking about everything but the real issue. Idiots not crapping out kids. And not only in this country, but every other country. Hey, Africa, you need another sack of rice? Hey, Africa, how about some plumpy nut? Hey, Africa, how about a filter for your water system? Hey, Africa, how about we send over some NATO troops to break up? How about we drop off some goddamn condoms and you retards quit raping each other? How about that? No, never gets brought up. We got to do something for these people. They're starving. We got to do something for these people. They don't have clean water. We got to do something with these people. They're raping each other. They're killing each other. How about you stop crapping out kids? And how about everyone from George Clooney to the pussy left politicians to the pussy celebrities have the balls to admit that's the real problem abroad and here? Overcrowding, prison overcrowding, school overcrowding, lack of education, domestic violence, substance abuse, all people and too many of them. Again, we got 300 million in this country alone. We had half that 50 years ago. We're going to have double it 50 years from now. You want more retards, or should we start thinning the herd a little? All right, that's it. I'm angry. I'm done.
Until next time.
Hold on a second.
This week.
Ugh, what a ass.
Enraged.
Yep, the only topic that doesn't come up. Oh, Hillary talks about healthcare. You really want to keep more people alive so they can crap out more retarded kids? Do you guys not see where this is going? Does anybody care about this? What about the future? Yeah, what about it? I don't want my kid living in America with 600 million idiots running around in it. I can barely cross town as it effing is. Okay, T, what's coming up in the news?
Let's play some games.
Elliot Spitzer, or as he is now known, Client 9, in a little bit of trouble.
He's partying up with whores.
And we're going to talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions. If you missed it, a lot of great stuff. Madonna, Justin Timberlake, Leonard Cohen.
Yeah, it was also awesome to see the comatose Lou Reed go up there. I'm sorry if it doesn't make me cool. I don't like Lou Reed. I don't like him, and I'm not a huge Bob Dylan fan either, so shoot me. We'll take a break. Back next with the news.
Now, here's another Adam Carolla comedy clip from Dana Gould.
But when you have someone in your life and you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend and you're all set in that area of your life, you get hit on all the time. When you're single, nothing. And they say it's that sense of confidence. That must be what it is. I don't know. But apparently I'm walking through nightclubs now like Cary Grant. Same bar, same people, but you're single? Suddenly you're coming through a trap door in the back like Vincent Price with a big top hat and a cape. I couldn't help noticing you sitting alone at the bar. Why don't you look at me when I'm speaking to you? Where are you going? Why won't you dance with me? You're all doing jello shots or I'll kill you.
More Adam Carolla coming your way next on 97.1 32 HD, SoCal's high-definition FM talk station.
I'm Norm McDonald, and you're listening to 97.1 Free 2HD, the FM talk station, where the FM stands for Frequency Modulation.
Coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show.
Let everybody know exactly what's in store for us.
Porn queen Jenna Jameson.
Listen, when I saw those big double D's popping out, I knew she had a career.
Adam and T dish out some relationship advice.
I would give you the banging of a lifetime.
You got a chance to win $500 in Totally Topical TiVo trivia today. Courtesy of the movie No Country for Old Men, out on DVD today. And at one point, Adam's alter ego will take over in a round of Evil Adam.
No better looking, finer carpenter than Ty Pennington.
Teresa Strasser delivers the news.
Do you realize that the Jews were responsible for 9/11?
Powered by MSN.com. Have you been to MSN today? To talk to the Ace Man, call 866-901-ADAM. And stream the Adam Carolla Show at AdamCarolla.com. Just click on Listen Live.
I think I know everything that goes into my vagina.
And now, Adam Carolla.
Well, my favorite part of the show with my favorite gal pal, Teresa Strasser, in her news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
This headline brought to you by our content partner, MSN.com. New York Governor Eliot Spitzer may be forced to resign after being linked to a prostitution ring. According to the New York Times, Spitzer was caught on a wiretap several times arranging a meeting with a prostitute at a Washington, D.C. hotel. After news of the allegations broke, Spitzer held a short press conference to apologize to his family and the state. While not addressing the charges, Spitzer acknowledged acting in a way that violated his obligations to his family and his sense of right and wrong. Federal investigators say the Emperor's Club was a prostitution ring with call girls who charge more than $5,000 an hour in some cases.
Ooh.
Here is Eliot Spitzer.
Wow, listen, I better have two weenuses for that kind of bread.
Well, the actual client, he was referred to as client 9 in the FBI's investigation, and he allegedly met with a prostitute named Kristen. He was asked to be reminded what she looked like. American, petite, very pretty brunette, 5 feet 5 inches and 105 pounds.
I don't know how prostitution rings work, but I know how the NFL works.
Yeah,
like my prostitution ring number is 9, so if I join the Emperor's Club, I'd be like, hey, Spitzer, you got 9? And then I could buy his number off him. They do that in the NFL.
Because 9's your lucky number.
Yeah. I wore it in college when I was banging prostitutes.
Yeah.
And then when I got on draft day, I had 9.
Plus, they would skew the stats on the scorecard, too. You know, it says 5'5", 105 pounds for the prostitute. You know she's only like 5'3", probably 120.
Yeah, that's what her license says.
Instead of the combine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, their meeting apparently lasted from 9:36 p.m.
They spell com different
way.
Actually. Yeah.
From 9:36 to 12:02 p.m. And for that, Kristen collected...
I'd like to see that.
the horror combine?
Yes, but again, we
It could still be called that.
We spell com different.
Slightly different spelling.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what would the prostitutes have to do in the combine?
Well, there's the 40. You have to have sex with 40 Asian tourists.
40 centimeter dash.
There's you have the vertical hump.
Oh, no.
There's something we call jingle jangles that I can't get into over the radio. There's shuttle time. That's how long from the shuttle at the Marriott Airport.
Of course,
it takes you get back to the whorehouse.
Well, there should be an obstacle course how fast you can find room 871.
Right.
So you got to find rooms in strange hotels.
Oh, I haven't worked out the details just yet, but the combines for prostitutes would be interesting. Now, here's the best thing about all of these. Here's what I love about all these. I don't really care that the guy's with prostitutes. I do care about the part where they go on talking about being holier than thou. And by the way, I guarantee this guy didn't run on an atheist ticket, right? I don't know what his religion is, but I'm sure while he was going to get elected, he was talking about how deeply religious he was and how he had plenty of photo ops of him leaving church with his family. So I got a few mini rants here. One is he doesn't believe. See, you people expect me to believe that you believe you just go ahead and do a bunch of evil crap anyway, or you step out against, you go against all the tenets of the things you believe, you just then expect me to believe it. You'd be like saying, I don't know why people do this, you know, it'd be like going, hey, Brian, I got a stock for you.
Oh, tell you, let me check it out.
Yeah, dude, I feel totally strongly about this stock. I believe in this stock 100%. I base my life on this stock. I'd like you to put some money in this stock.
Sweet, do you own it?
No.
But you...
I don't have any money in it.
Oh, tell me more about it.
I love this stock. I love it. I just won't put any of my own money into it. Really? How much do you love it? How much into it are you? How much do you love Jesus Christ when you're on top of a hooker? Do you really believe he knows what's going on? Does he really live in your heart? Or are you lying? I know you're lying to yourself. Are you lying to us? And do we want to believe so badly that we just go along with this charade and everyone nods their head like stooges? I don't think he believes for a hot second. I don't think any of these guys believe. I think they want us to believe, and I think we want to believe so badly, we all go along with the fairy tale. So A, knock it off. B, I'll say this to Spitzer, and I'll say to Jim McGreevy, who dragged his shill of a beard of a wife up there to announce to the world,
I am a gay American.
That he's a gay American. Leave the old lady at home. I don't need her ass dragged out on stage like some sort of show pony. I just sit there with some kind of puss on. And then, by the way, they got to stand in the mirror for hours trying to figure out just what the right look is for your husband being addicted to prostitutes while you're up on a podium with him.
They work at their cues. Honey, when I talk about...
Yeah, let's see. Look, when I found out my husband was elected to a higher office, nope, not that look. Marriage look, nope, not that look. Funeral look, we're getting warm.
Kid brings home a D-.
Somewhere in there. Look, you were banging other chicks. You're sexually addicted. You're not nearly as religious as you say you are. Of course, you're a hypocrite, as most politicians are. Why do you have to drag your wife up on stage? Why did McGreevy have to drag his wife up on stage to tell everyone he loved to smoke poles? Did he really need her there for that? Look, here's what I do when I get busted cheating after I'm mayor of... Oh, wait a minute. Our mayor did get busted for cheating.
Right.
All right, let's see. Here's what I'd do. Hey, Via Retardo, if you're not on top of another reporter from Telemundo, listen up. And here's what all the city officials ought to do. Go up there alone and apologize. And then when someone, first off, couple things. Don't have a press conference, invite the press, and then not take questions.
Right.
Because if they're all going to show up and bring their goddamn steno pads, then they should be allowed to ask questions, number one. And here's the deal with press conference. That's not a press conference. That's a press statement, and I don't want to hear it. If you're going to open it up to people, if you want people to come cover it, then they should be able to raise their hand and ask questions, or you get no forum.
Strategic.
You should get no statement, number one. Number two, leave the old lady at home. Hasn't she been humiliated enough? Is she standing by her man, or is this just another one of your ruses? Remember, we got pictures of you leaving church from the week earlier. We got that line of bull crap. Now we got another line of bull crap. Your lady standing next to you. That's just another ruse. That's just another smokescreen. Here's what you should say, and here's what would work. Where's my wife? She's at home. Why? She's PO'd. That's right. I'm sleeping on a futon in the basement. Wouldn't your wife be PO'd too? I'm in the doghouse. Well, do you think it's going to work out with you two? Be honest. I don't know. She's pissed. This is touch and go. And as a matter of fact, if there are any florists or jewelers in the audience, please hand me your card because I am in the doghouse in a big way. She's pissed. She's not talking to me. I got home and found an Armani suit in the fireplace. She was roasting a marshmallow and had popped open some cognac that was a gift from me that's 30 years old, and we're not talking. Why not that? Why not just be honest? Why not have every man in America identify, and by the way, every woman feel some degree of sympathy for you by saying, where's your wife at the press conference? She's at her mother's house. She's PO'd, and I'm going to have to work overtime to get her back.
Elliot Spitzer was known as Mr. Clean. He was the corruption-fighting politician. His cases...
He loved to smoke poles.
That was McGreevy.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. His cases as attorney general included criminal prosecutions of prostitution rings and tourism involving prostitutes.
Hypocrisy. What a shock.
He has three teenage daughters.
Next thing you know, you're going to tell me a priest molested a kid.
A priest?
Yeah, of course. Look, whenever somebody is too interested in something, there's a problem. This is why you can't trust politicians, most cops, and just about every priest.
Now, according to the FBI affidavit, Kristen, the prostitute with whom he allegedly met, collected $4,300 from client 9. She said the appointment went very well and that she liked him and did not think he was difficult.
Difficult.
Now, here is the press conference.
Reputation you want, by the way.
Yeah.
The press conference, or as you said, it shouldn't even be called that. He did not take questions.
That should be the thing. Look, you would love to make a statement. Fine.
Yeah. Here's
his return,
statement.
We get to hear our questions.
Here's a statement he made with his wife standing behind him, trying to screw the appropriate look on her face.
For the past 9 years, 8 years as attorney general, and one as governor, I've tried to uphold a vision of progressive politics that would rebuild New York and create opportunity for all. We sought to bring real change to New York, and that will continue. Today, I want to briefly address a private matter. I have acted in a way that violates my obligations to my family and that violates my or any sense of right and wrong.
Yeah, well, look, he's addicted. I mean, when guys who get into that position, well, first off, the basic argument is I don't want a guy this dumb running anything. It's so easy to look into these things these days. And I felt this was my big argument with Clinton. The guy's an addict. There's no way you take those kinds of chances unless you're addicted to this.
Right. And he was carefully trying to funnel the money so that no one figured out where it was coming from. I should say that this website, the prostitution website for the Emperor's Club VIP,
mm-hmm.
displays photographs of scantily clad women. It hides their faces. It includes their hourly rates, which range. Now, they rate the prostitutes. One mm-hmm. diamond is the lowest ranking.
Oh, no.
And seven diamonds is the highest. I would be very upset to get one diamond.
Yeah.
I mean, there's got to be some dignity, even as a prostitute.
Plus, you'd want one of those culture diamonds, too.
I know. Is this a blood diamond? I want a culture diamond. I don't believe in this. As I was telling Brian, when I was living in New York City, I was offered a job in a prostitution ring.
Mm-hmm.
$10,000.
All right. And then 9 months later, you got out. Now, listen.
Well, my girlfriend, who was the one that introduced me to the very famous coach that was running this mm-hmm. thing.
Coach.
He was a coach.
Mm-hmm.
She got offered 50.
Power
and I got
riding.
Offered 10.
Wow.
So that was like five diamonds.
That's flattering. Yeah. Yeah. T, bad news on the diamond front. Why? One diamond? Actually, we're starting you off at coal.
Two lumps of coal?
Nah, one lump.
Just one?
One lump of coal.
Is that...
Hey, nowhere to go but up, baby.
So it could turn into
nowhere to go
diamond?
But up. And how does that work? I mean, how's your self-esteem not only as the chick that gets the single diamond, but then the guy who's looking at his credit card going, what's my max on the Visa Gold here? Like, can I only afford one diamond? And also... How about this? It's that same thought you have when you enter the empty bathroom and there's three stalls and
right.
you got to drop a deuce. You're like, should I go for the first one? And then you go, I'll go for the first one. And then you go, no, everyone goes
everyone
for the first
choose.
One. I'll go for the last one.
Oh,
and then
I see
you go, no, wait a minute. Furthest
yeah.
away from the door? I bet everyone uses that. Aha! I'm going back to the first one again. As far as the diamonds, like I'm looking for a lower mileage hooker.
Yeah.
As far as the diamonds, on one hand, nine diamonds sounds pretty good. Secondly, you know every single guy with any oil money in his bank account, every single Middle Eastern guy that's ever made the trip across the pond and landed New Jersey's been on top of your nine diamond pile. Do you know what I'm saying?
You don't want one of these seven diamond girls. You want maybe a four diamond
no,
girl?
No, she did blow off the Sultan of Brunei's dingling a day earlier. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's why maybe I do shoot lower in the diamond
right.
range.
Shoot for the middle.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in like elementary school, everyone, you know, you'd line up and everyone, first, whatever it was, I would always yell second because I'd be the only guy yelling second.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'll be second,
first to lose
deal.
Your hair.
That's right. Oh, there was no yelling for that.
I think if you have to ask how many diamonds, you can't afford
Good
that
point.
Website.
All right.
I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot more about that.
If you
and
have to ask how much.
You can't afford it. And there's a lot of speculation that Client 9 will be resigning today from office.
Mm-hmm.
Heidi Fleiss had some things to say about the matter. She showed up last night on Nightline.
It's not him. It's every man. And it's gone on since the beginning of time. Look at Adam and Eve. You know, it,
sure.
look at temptation.
That snake.
Every man thinks about sex, 99% of the time? But what the problem I see here is, sure, it's great the governor's getting laid. I don't want a governor who doesn't get laid. But the problem is to be such a zealot and to aggressively pursue prostitution when he's so actively involved in it is the real problem. He needs to get out of office right now.
I do like the idea that Heidi Fleiss gets to be the expert on prostitution because she got busted 10 years ago for whoring around herself.
Right. You're a producer for Nightline. You got to get a guest for last night.
Right.
She's first on your list.
Professional whore Heidi Fleiss. I'd like to see what the Chiron says.
Probably something like former madam.
Whore wrangler Heidi Fleiss.
I'm gonna use madam.
All right.
Six diamond madam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's just go ahead and make it legal.
Let's.
How about that?
Really?
How about we go ahead and make prostitution and marijuana legal and get on with our goddamn lives?
I am sold on that.
All right.
In the world of entertainment, last night, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony went down in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Madonna was inducted, and she talked about all the people who have helped her along the way.
35 years later, people are still encouraging me to believe in my dreams. What more could I ask for? There's a saying in the Talmud that for every blade of grass, there's an angel that watches over it and whispers, "Grow, grow." And I can still hear those angels whispering. And even the naysayers, the ones who said that I was talentless, that I was chubby, that I couldn't sing, that I was a one-hit wonder.
Mm-hmm. How dare you?
They helped me too.
Nobody quotes the Talmud like chicks from Michigan. I've said it many times.
Well, speaking of people from Michigan, she actually had Iggy Pop.
Do you guys need a Torah and a Talmud, by the way?
It's confusing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Let's just focus on one, like, you know, the real people got the Bible.
Right.
You know what
you
I mean?
You mean the New Testament?
Whatever. The point is, either take the Torah or the Talmud. When I'm in charge, it's going to be Torah or Talmud. It's not going to be both.
I won't even get into the Mishnah.
Look, you're packing for one. Torah, Talmud. You can't have both. And you're going to read left to right when I'm in charge, too. None of that backwards crap.
All right.
All right.
Well, Iggy Pop sang Burning Up, a Madonna song, and then John Mellencamp was inducted.
All right, hold on. I don't know who I like more or less, Iggy Pop. Or first off, the Iggy Pop thing, don't get it. Brought him up on stage once, he knocked me over. Running on stage, he was in his 50s, and I weigh 70 pounds more than he does. I don't get, like, Iggy Pop's one of these guys where you go, oh, yeah, Iggy Pop. Oh, no, Iggy Pop. Oh, definitely Iggy Pop. And then you think, let me think about all the Iggy Pop songs I love so much, and then you go, zero. Okay. Go ahead. And I feel that way. Well, we all let you keep going, but go ahead.
Okay. John Mellencamp was inducted by Billy Joel.
Yeah.
Now, what you might not know about John, well, you're very certain that you don't care for his music, but what you might not know.
He's fine. If you like that kind of music, listen to John Hyatt. Why punish yourself with a crappy version of somebody who's much better at it than he is?
John Mellencamp was very lucky to survive as an infant. He had a once fatal birth defect. Let's take a listen.
I was born very lucky, and this might sound obtuse, but I was born with a disease called spina bifida. I had a birth defect on the back of my neck the size of a man's fist. Spina bifida is when the spinal column doesn't fully form around the spinal cord. Back then, it was fatal. It would paralyze from the opening, you know, wherever the opening of the spine was. In my case, it was the neck. I should have been paralyzed from the neck down. And my grandma, my entire life, from a little kid till she died, would always come up to me and whisper. She'd call me Buddy. She'd go, "Buddy, you're the luckiest boy in the world." And I am. I'm lucky to be standing here for any number of reasons.
His parents were only 20 years old. It was unheard of at that time to operate on a newborn. They did the operation, very high risk. It took 18 hours. No nerves were damaged, and doctors charged his parents $1.
Yeah, now we got a bunch of crappy songs about the heartland.
I'll tell you a good song. I think possibly my favorite song.
Mm.
That's a song called Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was written by Leonard Cohen, who was also inducted last night.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Jeff Buckley version. Leonard Cohen's voice is a little rough for me, but he's a great writer.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote this song.
All right.
It was also on American Idol last week. Jason Castro sang it.
How old is this song?
Pretty old. I think it was... Oh, you know what? I actually have an answer for you.
Mm.
This pen is going to go right. If you didn't have those glasses,
really
this would go right in your eye.
That was really funny.
I can't know everything. I believe it was composed in the 80s because it was performed on 80s night.
Ah, all right. I don't know this song.
You never heard it?
Hallelujah?
Yeah.
Well, so far nothing's going on, so I don't know if this is the beginning of Stairway to Heaven or this is the beginning of Hallelujah.
This
or
is the
this
part
is
where
beginning...
Springsteen talks about Vietnam to the crowd.
The part where he's talking about guys who went to NAMM and then he's talking about going to the edge of town at some point.
And the river. Don't forget about the river.
Yeah. Jeff Buckley died after just one album. That's the vocalist here.
When it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift, the baffled king.
This song to me is what Diner is to you.
Hmm?
I feel like everyone should.
Oh, should
be aware
of the experience of this song.
Yeah,
all right.
It's a beautifully written song. Anyway, Lou Reed inducted Leonard Cohen into the Hall of Fame.
Don't get Lou Reed.
He started by quoting some of Leonard Cohen's lyrics.
I showed my heart to the doctor. He said, I just have to quit. Then he wrote himself a prescription, and your name was mentioned in it. He could have stopped there. He just gets better. We're so lucky to be alive at the same time Leonard Cohen is.
Just the Blowhard Awards or the Rock and Roll Hall
then
of Fame?
Then he locked himself on a library shelf with the details of our honeymoon. It's not our governor. I know.
Lou Reed bothers me.
Huh?
I don't quite get him.
I don't get him. Good. Glad
okay,
you
good.
Don't.
I'm glad I can admit that freely. Now, I see that Jenna Jameson and Tito Ortiz are here. So I will wrap up. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that is the news sponsored by MSN.com. Have you been to MSN today?
Tomorrow's news. Today. Teresa Strasser.
We'll bring Jenna and Tito in 1 second, but first, Jeff has a quick question about etiquette with prostitution. Jeff?
Yeah, I want to make a point about this. People always get all upset about prostitution. I say it's exactly the same as pro sports.
Using your body for money?
Exactly. You get started at a young age. Sometimes you're forced into it. You have a short shelf life. You're usually involved in drugs. Your boss is some old rich fat man.
Yeah,
Tom Renovich.
It might be your only way out.
How about the Gatorade dump at the end? Oh, that's not Gatorade.
No. A lot of injuries. There are probably injuries. Career ending.
Yeah. Pink eye.
Right.
Sure. Craps. Hey, Jeff.
Yeah.
Sorry I went to you.
I'm not. I thought that was an excellent point.
Look, here's the point.
Thank you, Jeff.
Wrong! I don't want to live in a society that loves prostitution. On the other hand, there's always going to be a market for it, and people should be able to do it safe and legally, and we should be able to tax it.
Like
the same
they do
with pot.
In Nevada.
Yeah, parts of Nevada. Yes.
It seems to be working out very well. It's safe.
Well, I'll go the Netherlands for that as well. They check everyone. Everyone gets licensed. Everyone gets up to date.
STD and testing.
You remove the whole sort of seedy underbelly part of it, and you don't get the pimps beating the crap out of everyone and getting everyone strung out on dope. All right. Jenna Jameson. I'm happy to say I met Jenna Jameson 12, 13 years ago. I mean, when she just got into the business. Also, I remember once she gave Dr. Drew some flowers. And he brought them home and his wife got mad at him. And I had to yell at her on the air because he was so pee-whipped. Tito Ortiz, who we obviously know from the Octagon, but who's turned out to be quite the young entrepreneur. Mm. Seen him on Donald Trump's show as well. Just recently voted off. I think it was a week before last. Mm. These two are a couple. Jenna, Tito, next.
Y'all like sound effects? I sure do. And Ball Bryan got skills with that, and you can catch him right here on 97.1 Free 2 HD.
KLSX HD2 Los Angeles. 97.1 Free HD2. SoCal's high definition FM talk station.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show right now. Legendary adult film actress Jenna Jameson is on the Adam Carolla Show.
And so is Tito Ortiz. Good to see you, Jenna. Good
Hi.
To see you, Tito.
How you doing?
Good. Fans of both yours. Jenna and I met many, many years ago. Yes?
I was a kid.
Yeah.
I tell that story all the time, by the way.
Oh, you do?
I do.
How do you tell it?
I always say that it was such a good experience. I learned so much. And I think I was kind of in love with Dr. Drew.
You brought him flowers.
I did. And, well, because I do that with a lot of people. Like, if they make an impact in my life, and he did,
mm-hmm.
I send flowers.
Mm-hmm.
It's
right.
kind of a classy thing to do, right?
I agree.
At least I didn't send, like, a box of sex toys.
No, listen, I know you could have sent something that was, you know, fashioned after you, made of rubber.
Exactly.
Over to his house.
He may have liked that better, though.
I'm sure.
He's a passionate man.
He told me he would have kept that in the car, by the way, not ever brought it into the house. But it is a gift that never spoils. You know, flowers you got to throw away after a week, and chocolates, will you eat those?
True.
I yelled at his wife because his wife got PO'd about it.
She did?
Yes. Because he's so pee-whipped by her. And I was like, oh, get over yourself. I was like, because what happened was is Dr. Drew and Jenna had a little... Dr. Drew is Dr. Drew when the mics are cold, when the cameras are off.
Yeah.
He can't stop being
he's
Dr. Drew.
He's super good at what he does.
And Jenna opened up to him about some issues, some problems that she was having. And Dr. Drew basically, I don't know why he had to make out with her, but he counseled her. I said, look, I'm going to the bathroom and getting some coffee. You kids settle your differences in the room. And Dr. Drew sort of had a moment with her. And then Jenna felt strongly about that and sent him some flowers. And Mrs. Drew, not happy about that at all. Oh, Tito.
Jenna, do you remember what the issues were that you were talking with Dr. Drew?
You know what? I don't. I don't remember. But I do. I think that I was kind of putting up a front,
mm-hmm.
and he called me on it,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, oh, okay, wow, this guy's pretty good at what he does, you know, and it just kind of flowed out of me, and I was like, wow, this is good therapy.
Yeah, it's not the kind that you get you pay for, which A, makes it good therapy, and then B, Dr. Drew's very good at what he does, but I just remember his wife being PO'd about the flowers, and I told her to get over it. Someone who's gotten over it, Tito Ortiz is in here. Tito, not only a fan of yours from the Octagon, but also, and more recently, from the Celebrity Apprentice, where you've really shown that it's not all brawn. A lot of brain behind that brawn.
Well, I mean, I went to college, you know, I graduated from Huntington Beach High School, and I went to Golden West Junior College, then I ended up getting a scholarship to go to Cal State Bakersfield, and my whole deal was to be a high school wrestling coach and a teacher.
A lot mm-hmm. of UFC fighters are former wrestling coaches.
Yeah, I mean, we get educated, you know, and that's the biggest thing, because we wanted to be school teachers. I mean, I wanted to help out with kids, that was my biggest thing. I mean, I wanted to work with kids and keep them off the streets, keep them out of gangs, keep them off of drugs, and because I was that kid growing up, and there was a wrestling coach who pulled me aside and showed me the bright light and the right way to walk down, and I've continued to do that.
Well, the thing about the UFC that's different from other sports, although this will change in the upcoming years, is guys that are going to play basketball or football know it when they're 15 years old because they're head and shoulders above everyone else in their class, and they stop caring and they stop working on their grades and the world parts for them, and they know what they're going to do. A lot of the guys in UFC didn't know they were going to be in the UFC when they were in the high school.
That's for sure.
You didn't know what it was. No. You were just another jock who was probably going to go play a little junior college ball and then coach, right?
Well, I mean, my biggest thing was, you know, to get educated and, you know, help with kids. And it wasn't about being the jock. And wrestlers, I mean, we're the last guys to be called jocks. You know, it wasn't about that. It was just all the hard work and success that we got through wrestling. It's a one-on-one competition. It's not a team sport.
I saw Vision Quest. Don't tell me.
Yeah, that's one of the best movies.
I love that. I love that movie.
Well, then how, Tito, did the UFC come about for you? And then my follow-up question is, do you wish you started your career, let's say you were born 10 years later than you are now, so you got to it now? Or do you like being a pioneer in the UFC?
I love being a pioneer. I mean, I'm only 33 years old. You know, I'm still young. I still have a bright future, and I still see another 4 years of competition left in front of me. But to answer your first question, I started training with a guy named Tank Abbott out of mm-hmm. Huntington Beach.
Right.
And he needed a wrestling partner. I was at Golden West Junior College. I was a freshman, and I was a state champion, and I was a really good wrestler. And I would work out with him, and I'd take him down at will. And I was like, wow, this sport's pretty kind of crazy. And he was just demolishing guys. And they made a weight class, which was lightweight back in the day. Mm-hmm. I fought May 30th, 1997. Right before that, there was a guy, Jerry Bolander, who fought at that weight class, and he dominated everybody, won the tournament, and I was like, Jerry Bolander, that sounds so familiar. And I looked back at my old wrestling records, and I beat him in high school in wrestling. It was like 15-1. I killed him. I was like, God, this guy's doing good, and he's like submitting guys, and he's doing really well. And I was a kid. I mean, I had four older brothers. He used to beat me up all the time, and we grew up in the punk rock era, and, you know, fighting was our game in Huntington Beach. You know,
right.
You go to a party, and there's a fist fight that would start, and I knew how to defend myself. And when I was training with Tank, and I came to realize, you know, I'm going to try this thing out. So I fought my first time, May 30th, 1997. I fought in, Augusta, Georgia, and I stopped the guy in 22 seconds.
What was the payday, by the way? Do you remember?
I fought as a complete amateur because I was in collegiate wrestling, and I fought for free.
Really?
Yes.
So that was you. And it's, I never even thought about the amateur side of
I was on scholarship.
Mixed martial arts.
Yeah, I was on scholarship for wrestling in college, and I was getting financial aid and so forth. So for me to continue to compete in wrestling, collegiate wrestling, I couldn't accept any money that was based around any pro sport that included wrestling.
Well, you know, it seems to me, by the way, that the sport of mixed martial arts has really turned into a sport over the last 5-8 years.
We worked hard to make it
and
happen,
I sort of liken it to women's boxing. If you watch women's boxing from 10 years ago, it was a chick fight.
Yes.
It was two chicks going at it. They may as well been standing on a sidewalk throwing acrylic nails at each other out front of Dragonfly. Now you watch women's boxing and you go, oh, these chicks are boxing.
Yes.
They're actually, well, it's turned into a sport. And when you see the old days of UFC, it was a bar bouncer competition, and now it's its own sport.
Yes.
And as people grow up practicing the sport, they'll no longer be converted football players and converted. They'll be guys who just grew up doing UFC.
There's already young kids that are doing that now. It's really, really
right.
It's kinda
scary. You're going to look forward to a guy who wasn't a converted wrestler or a converted kickboxer.
Exactly.
You're going to look at a guy who was doing mixed martial arts since he was 11. Now he's 28,
well,
and you got to deal with it.
There's him. Actually some. There's these two little brothers, two little kids, and actually they're from Corona, and they do MMA, and they come in. They over in Las Vegas. There's Randy Couture's gym, and they came in. And I saw them hit focus pads and do jiu-jitsu, and these little kids are like six and seven years old. And they were hitting pads like a man. I was like,
that's
oh,
kind of
my
crazy
God.
That parents allow their kids to do that.
I know. The crazier thing
is
the phone call I'm going to get from the school. Yeah, your son's been choked out again.
Yeah, that's odd.
Well, I mean, he tapped out, but he had a chocolate milk in his hand. So.
That's a big thing we try to teach. You know, I have a son who's 5 years old, and he wants to be like dad, of course. But, you know, the biggest thing is to say leave it in the gym. It doesn't go no further than the gym. It stays in the gym. Once you go outside of the gym, it's no more than that.
But that's scary that they can be so dangerous.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, that's really dangerous, choking people out.
Yeah, the submission stuff is very dangerous. And the good news is, as somebody who used to do a little boxing and used to be a boxing trainer, the nicest, calmest guys I know are the boxers. It's not like the movies. The guys in the gym are all business. They're friendly. They've just got it out of their system.
I mean, look at Tito. He's the most sensitive, sweet guy on the planet. Between you and Lennox Lewis on The Apprentice.
Yeah, Lennox is a good cat. A really cool cat. We were just
He barely has a pulse.
Yeah, right?
What it is, Chihuahua versus Big dog. Big dog does not have the chip on the shoulder. It's not the little dog syndrome. They don't do much yapping. They're very confident guys. And plus, when you've been punching a sack filled with sand for the last 4 hours, you're tired of punching stuff.
And there you go. That's a great analogy to put it about.
We need to take ourselves a break. Tito Ortiz in studio. Jenna Jameson in studio. Tito's got a new book out, which is...
Actually, it'll be out in June 6th.
I was going to say, yes, coming out June 6th. I have May here, but I'm going to go ahead and modify that. And also, Tito's getting back into the ring or octagon to put a finer point on it. Also, Jenna's got Zombie Strippers' new movie in theaters.
Isn't that cool?
Yes.
Very cool.
April 18th, we'll talk about that. We'll take a break. Tito and Jenna next. She got a dog,
but she got a cat. You're listening to Free 2 HD.
This is the future of radio, and you know you're listening to it because you're never tardy. This is 97.1 Free 2 HD.
Now, here's another great Crank Yankers episode on 97.1 Free 2 HD.
Hello.
Yes, I'm calling about your ad in the paper.
Which ad?
The receptionist.
And your phone number?
563-584.
And your name?
Dina.
And your number? Please, your phone number, ma'am.
563-584.
And your name?
Dina.
And I need your phone number, please.
I just gave you my phone number.
I need the full phone number, Dina, please.
563.
Mm-hmm. Beep, 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 beep. Yes?
84.
Beep, 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 beep. All right. And you called about the receptionist job?
I called about the receptionist
job. All right. And when is your availability? When could you start?
What is the name of your company?
It's beep, 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 Enterprises.
I'm sorry. I couldn't understand you.
This is Dina.
This is Dina.
And you're calling about the
receptionist
job. Your name is Dina?
Dina.
All right. And I need a phone number, please.
563.
Mm-hmm. Continue. And your name is Dina?
Correct.
Can you spell that for me?
D-I-N-A.
Mm-hmm. And your phone number, please?
563.
And you're calling about the receptionist job?
Correct. And what is the name of your company?
It's Enterprises. Can I hear you say thank you for calling Enterprises?
It's a real person. I mean, it was weird, Tom. I kept repeating my name and number.
I have no idea what the f*** you're calling. What do you do that f***? Hello?
Hello? And what is your name, love?
Yeah, my name's Tom.
Hello, Tom. What can I do for you today?
Well, I want to know what your problem is.
I'm sorry?
I want to know what your problem is.
And you're interested in the job?
Not any kind of job you have.
You called about the receptionist job.
What's your phone number?
Yes, you called me.
What's your phone number?
My phone number is 702.
You call my house again, I'm going to call the police.
No police, no police. I can't have a police. Listen to me, Tom. Listen to me well, all right?
What?
Let's talk. Let's talk turkey. Let's talk salary.
What's the name of your company?
The name of the company is Enterprises.
Now, what's Enterprises?
We handle a lot of mutual funds, a lot of financial investments, a lot of issues, and not so much more. We make stock tickers.
And what's the address of your company?
We are located on Maryland Parkway. Not but
okay, you know what?
Are we on the same page?
I'm gonna hang up. You call my house again, I'm calling the police.
I'm Rachel Dratch, and you're listening to 97.1 Free 2 HD, the FM talk station.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. In theaters March 21st, Adam Carolla in The Hammer.
You've got to keep moving. This guy was not the number one ranked amateur 5 years ago for nothing.
What's he been doing for the last 5 years?
He's been doing 5 years.
Go to AdamCarolla.com and register to win tickets to see the world premiere of The Hammer at the Arclight Hollywood Cinemas on Wednesday, March 19th. The Hammer in theaters Friday, March 21st. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, guess who else has a movie coming out? Jenna Jameson. She's brought along her man toy, Tito Ortiz. He's got a new book coming out in June, autobiographical, and then Zombie Strippers, Jenna's new movie, coming out in theaters April 18th. You can go to clubjenna.com. All right, so career-wise, Tito, getting back into the octagon, coming up when and with whom?
Actually, it'll be on May 24th. That's right, May 24th at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Do we have an opponent picked out yet?
Yes, we do. Actually, I'll be fighting Luita Machida. He's fifth in the world, and he's undefeated.
So, mm-hmm. Undefeated, yeah. Tough, and as I've said many times, it's such a competitive sport, mixed martial arts, that oftentimes some of the best guys are like 13-7,
exactly.
And you don't see that in boxing.
Nope.
In boxing, a guy will be 35-6, and he'll be a tomato can. Yep. You'll be like, where'd he get those six losses? I mean, literally, guys can have 40 wins, 5 losses, and that's not considered a great championship record, whereas there are a lot of guys who go into the octagon that are close to 500 and considered really good fighters. Yeah. That's how competitive it is.
Yeah, I mean, my record, I'm actually 19-5 You know, I've lost three matches in the last 10 years, but, you know, it's against great opponents. You know, Randy Couture, one of the greatest heavyweight champions of UFC history, and Chuck Liddell, I lost to him twice in the last 7 years. And he's one of the greatest light heavyweights in the history.
Sure, yeah. It's nice that you've only lost to the best. And Couture, who's a heavyweight now, fought you at what weight?
205.
Which is...
Light heavy. That's light
heavy. Which is light heavy.
Yes.
And are they going to... They have heavyweight, light heavy, and it's much different, or quite a bit different than the boxing. In boxing, a middleweight's 150, 160-pound guy.
Well, they have five weight classes. The weight classes start at 155, then it goes up to 170, then it goes to 185. And it goes up to 205, which is my weight class. And then heavyweight, nothing over 265.
Jenna, what's it like to watch Tito fight?
I think that's the number one question a lot of women want to know. Is it, at first, I always said that I would never date a guy that's a fighter because I knew that I would be really, really passionate about it and want to hurt people myself. So
she tries.
I get really mad. It's not about fear. Because I know he's capable. He's so tough.
That's a perfect
look at his
answer,
head.
Isn't it?
Yes. Look at his head. How could you hurt that? You know. So I
ask
for me,
Chuck Liddell.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what? It's really about. I worry about afterwards, like his state of mind. Like if you lose.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's really hard.
Losing in life is depressing, but being, you don't lose, you're beaten.
Yeah.
And it affects your demeanor.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, look, when you get dumped, it's a bummer. When you get fired, it's a bummer. But when you get in a ring or an octagon and you get beat up.
And get hurt.
I've been beat up in the ring before, and it screws you up for the next few months because somebody beat you up. They didn't win. It wasn't rock, paper, scissors. They beat you.
To change your whole view on it, the bruises and the cuts and all that, that's nothing. That's just like whatever.
Yeah, he what goes hurts, right through. Like he goes out the same night and
what,
parties.
What really hurts is the loss. You know, to me, you know, I'm so passionate about fighting. I put 3 months of my life and soul into training, and it's 6 days a week of training, 8 hours a day, and I really, really focus on winning.
And sometimes you can lose in like 2 minutes. I mean, after all
two
that
minutes,
training time, 20 in, seconds.
In, yeah, you know? I mean, in especially, I mean, you can do that in boxing, but in the octagon, especially with submission holds, things
can so
happen
fast.
So fast, and you don't realize how much, I hate to weave myself into the octagon here, but I'm doing a little Dancing with the Stars, and you're trying to learn steps, and you do the right, right, left, right, turn around, pivot, right, left, right.
It's a lot of
and
life.
I go,
it's
okay,
life, yeah.
How much, okay, how long's the song? A minute and a half. Okay, how long was that? Because it just took me 2 days. So that takes 8 seconds.
Right. Oh,
I said,
gosh.
Really? We ate 8 seconds up of the 90 seconds and I can't figure it out? Yeah, you'd be surprised what you can get done in about 20 seconds when you're with someone or just how long that 3 minute or 5 minute round is.
Imagine somebody trying to bash your face.
Right. Yeah, and you're defending yourself.
So you're saying you want to go over the top of the chain link fence with your purse swinging?
Well, let me just tell you, I think the hardest thing for me is the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Because Tito is the kind of person, that the kind of celebrity that you either love him or you hate him. And he has a lot of people that hate him out in the audience. And they will sit behind me and heckle.
Yeah.
And do it on purpose. Like,
sure.
And say hateful stuff. Last time I almost came to blows with one of his opponent's family, like his
family. What were they saying? Do you remember?
Oh, he's a has-been. He's like, he's not worth this guy's time.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get crushed, you know. And I turn around and I'm just like, I will. Oh my gosh.
I sort of love this about you,
back.
Jenna.
Shouldn't you guys be sequestered? I mean, should they put the Hatfields and the McCoys at the same picnic table?
They may have to after the next fight because I ain't letting it happen.
You
again.
Guys seem like a very good couple. I know we've only just met, but I get that
love to smoke poles. You're both passionate.
We're
people.
So in love.
How long have you been together?
Almost two years now.
And I know you love kids and you mentioned you have a little one.
Yep.
Anything, maybe?
Yeah, we practice every night.
Every day, every night.
Do you talk about a future together, long term?
We want to have a baby.
Yeah,
for sure. We're not. I'm not a big marriage person.
Right.
Because I've already failed it, too.
Been there and did that.
So,
But a baby for sure?
Yeah.
We'd make beautiful kids.
Oh, definitely.
God, Jenna's so hot.
I mean, yeah, Jenna is hot.
She's
but
gorgeous.
Smart, too.
Yeah.
It could
thing.
Be a crapshoot with the kid. I got to be honest with you. Jenna, you're both good-looking versions of male and female, but it'd still be a little bit of a crapshoot.
Sometimes right? that makes the kids come out really funky.
I
right.
definitely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Alexis, Joel, or whatever her name is.
Oh, come on.
God bless her.
Someone's got a question for Tito about working with the great, and if you don't believe me, just ask him, Gene Simmons, everybody. Chris?
Yes, sir.
Do you have a question for Tito?
I do, I do. I was kind of wondering, what was it like working with him on Celebrity Apprentice? And if he is, if he doesn't, you know, if he has that attitude of being a...
male
well,
chauvinist
pig? I can't say it on the air, but you know what I'm talking about.
Do you think it's an act?
I think he's so used to acting like it that it's his life.
It's become
he's
a male act.
He's a male chauvinist pig. I'm embarrassed to call him a man. Jesus.
Ooh.
How about Omarosa? No, what is she really like?
Omarosa, she's actually
two different people.
Dr. Jekyll yes. and Mr. Hyde, without a doubt.
Omarosa's pulled me aside like a time or two when I've interviewed her or been on other programs with her and sort of pulled me aside and gave me the wink. Like, you understand.
Yeah,
there's a reason why I'm back as the first from the first season
right.
and no one else is back, and that's because I know how to play people.
She's good TV.
She is good
TV. People want to watch
her. Right, but then it begs the question, is Gene Simmons doing a version or a caricature of himself? Is Omarosa doing a caricature,
yeah,
or are they really
Tito
that?
Tito seems to think Gene Simmons is really that.
Yeah, I think
yeah
he
I've
really
known
is,
him for a really, really long time, and he has always been that
yeah,
guy.
I mean, you got to respect women, man, and he has no respect for women at all. I've seen some something he says, I look at him and go, did you really just say
yeah,
that?
But he would go, he would argue that he loves women that much more.
Well, not
yeah,
Ivanka.
That's why he's so no, yeah. passionate
he and
about
Ivanka
it.
Had yeah. an incident.
Yeah, he was very disrespectful towards her. You know, Ivanka's actually a really cool girl, and for him to say some of the things he said, I was like, wow.
Hey,
a lot of respect.
So, Chris, we're going to go with no on the Gene Simmons.
I got it. Hey, is there any way you can give us, like, a little preview? I know he has his Family Jewels debuting tonight. Is there, like, a preview of what? Because I know he's, like, on your show.
Oh, somebody said there was a commercial that had us featured in it in Gene's new show.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure exactly what's going to be on there. I think something with a lie detector. But let me ask this. Gene Simmons, colossal blowhard. Like, he may be a misogynist, but he's a blowhard first. I mean, he's a mammoth blowhard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump, no newcomer to the blowhard octagon himself. If these two great warriors yeah. ever squared off in the blowhard octagon, who would come out on top?
Well,
and
they did.
Should those two ever be allowed in the same room? Because if something happened to that room, like some Nazi spy put a briefcase bomb under the table, it would be the day the blowhard died.
Well, we would still have Tyra.
We'd still left Tyra. All right, you're right. But Tyra, Trump, and Gene Simmons should not ever be allowed to fly on
no,
the same
they can't.
Flight.
They can't.
Because if that plane went down, we'd have no more blowhards.
Did you True. Like Donald Trump in general?
I really, really did. I have a lot of respect for him, you know. He said some good things about me, and I was impressed myself. I was like, wow.
Yeah, he loves him.
Yeah, he did yeah. not. He had very kind things to yeah. say about Tito before he tossed his ass.
Yeah.
yeah.
I was sad, believe me. But, you know, I raised a lot of awareness for my charity, St. Jude's Children's Hospital. We raised $70,000. It's for a better cause, you know.
I think he, if I'm not mistaken, also tossed in an extra $50,000
yeah,
toward your charity
he,
just because of that.
Yeah, he had a lot of respect for me, you know. He saw the hard work that I put into it. And,
I think he felt guilty because Tito did get thrown under the bus.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have been voted off.
Now, the show, and by the way, we have a few more weeks left before yeah. we get to the final Celebrity Apprentice. And by the way, I'm going right from Dancing to the Stars to that show. I've now given up on my own career, and I'm just going to I'm just doing the Celebrity Apprentice, the Celebrity
Dance. And then Celebrity Rehab.
Get me out of here. So
right.
I already talked to Drew
rehab.
About Celebrity
How much
Rehab.
Do you love that?
Yeah,
right. Do you know Mary Carey, Jenna?
I do. I've met her quite a few times, and she's actually a cool chick.
Yeah. Yeah, she was in here. I loved her.
Yeah, I know Rico Rodriguez. Really nice. He lived with me. He's actually used to be one of my really, 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 really good friends.
Did you know he had that serious of a gambling problem?
Yeah, it cost me $20,000.
Really?
Yeah. He borrowed some money from you?
No, he stole money from me.
Oh, he stole
money from me. Yeah.
I guess it's easy to gamble if you're in a game where you get paid in lumps of money like you do.
I know one incident. Actually, he was at Palace Station. He gambled and he got his paycheck and it was $80,000. He went down and he put it on red.
Really?
And won.
Wow.
And then thought, well, hell, I did it once. I can do it again.
Oh, that's, no. That stokes the
and
attic
it was
fire.
Gone. I wasn't there. I heard about it and I was just like, how stupid can you be?
He fought and then immediately took his check and put it on red.
Oh, yeah. But he won. He won the first time. And he's like, God, I want to
do it. That's when you walk away.
That's when you walk away. But
now, speaking of putting money down, there's money that's bet on fighters in the octagon. Do you ever put any money down on yourself?
Never.
It happens in boxing on occasion.
I thought of doing it a long time ago, but it's just one of those things. You know, the big gods upstairs are watching. So why? You know, I'm confident. But, you know,
most fighters are really superstitious.
I'm very superstitious.
It's like do not write your acceptance speech before the Oscars.
Yeah.
You're jinxing yourself.
Yeah, so don't do that.
Don't bet on yourself when you go into the octagon.
Oh, I've had that mistake. You don't do that.
All right. Somebody else has a question, I think, for Tito. Dave?
Yeah.
Question for Tito Ortiz or Jenna Jameson?
Question for Tito. That last fight that you had with Shamrock? At the very end, you were like running around and you flipped them off. I was just wondering if you felt bad about that or if you guys like made up or what happened with that.
Yeah, you know, it's been a trilogy with me fighting Shamrock. I beat him the first time, then I beat him the second time in like a minute, 20 seconds. And then the third time, it's just, he's always been a heckler. He's always been a guy that talks smack, but he builds the fight, of course. But after the fight was over, you know, I'm a very emotional fighter. I fight with a lot of emotions, and I let my emotions take over. And then there was a second there where I was like, okay, I got to stop here, and I got to show this guy at least a little respect. And I went over, I shook his hand, and we squashed everything, you know. And I'm not his best friend. It's not someone I'm going to go out to dinner with, but, you know, he is an acquaintance. And I do respect him 100% for what he's done for Ultimate Fighting and mixed martial arts.
He loved to smoke poles. Ken Shamrock and his brother, what's his brother's name?
Frank.
They're adopted, right?
Yes, they're foster brothers.
Well, how the hell do those two get, how do you adopt two guys that look like that with their shirts off? Do you, you know what I'm saying?
I didn't even know that.
They're not blood brothers. Yeah. Like you go, wow, look at those Shamrock brothers. You want to talk about some genes. Wow, look at the physiques on those guys.
Good gene replacement.
Somebody adopted two kids that look exactly the same and have these incredible physiques. And again, some would say that that's been altered through the miracle of science, without a doubt. But still, the two UFC Shamrock fighting brothers were born from separate vaginas, you understand. And not the same penis either.
Right.
New penis, different vagina.
Can we talk to Marcy on line three? She has a question for Jenna.
All right.
I'm scared.
Hey, Marcy?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you love Jenna's book.
I do. I love Jenna's book. It was great. The photos were gorgeous.
How to Make Love Like a Porn Star.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I think you're phenomenal. I love the fact that you've turned yourself into this great businesswoman, and I think your relationship with Tito is awesome. I was a varsity men's wrestler in high school. I have a black belt in Taekwondo.
Wow.
And I did took some boxing at Crunch in L.A. when I lived there. So
you're mixed martial arts yourself, and you boxed, you wrestled with the guys?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, they do that.
Well, there are a lot of girls now that are doing MMA.
Yes.
Oh, I know.
It's a big thing.
They're good, too. They're actually pretty good. I watched them a few times. Like
Gina's amazing. Yeah,
they're really super flexible, so they're good with kicking. They're strong, and they're meaner than guys.
And just mean as hornets.
Yeah. Yes. Women. See, when guys, here's the thing. I'll tell you the main component that makes women actually better fighters than men. When guys get punched in the head, they have two thoughts. A, that hurt, and B, I don't want to get hit again.
How do I get away?
Women have the, I'll kill that bitch.
I will kill their family.
Have
you been in a fist fight, Jenna?
Yeah, I actually have, and I hate saying that I have because it's so unladylike, but I actually got in a fist fight at Mastro's of all places, which is like
Grandma
this.
Liddell came in there. She was giving Jenna the stink eye from across the restaurant.
I want to know what happened.
Jenna had a couple of highballs and went over there to settle
Jenna's
it.
Jenna's actually the kind of hot girl that other women like.
Beat her with a stroke cane.
Like Marcy. Well, actually, you know, what's funny is when I wrote my book, I really didn't have very many female fans. I was just known as an adult actress. And, you know, I decided to write this book not because I wanted to, you know, broaden my fan base, but because I needed therapy. I needed to, like, really get these things out there. And once I did, I think that now my fans, 90% are women.
I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah. For sure. So it really changed my life. So I thank my lucky stars every day. So now I'm like launching my clothing line, which is all, you know, for women. And, you know, I'm going to write another book.
Did we figure out who the cat fight
was
with? Who was,
okay. I hate talking about this, but I'll tell you.
Christy Canyon?
No, it was just a random chick in a bar, and she like ran towards me and just punched me right in the face. Like, I didn't even think it was coming.
Her
husband
had been cheating with you via videotape?
No. Then I would have understood it, and I would have taken my lickings, but...
She just... I rented that one. Did she just punch you for no reason? Did she know who you were?
She was just drunk, and she probably saw, like, you know, a blonde girl and wanted to, like, you know, get back at me. I don't know. Maybe I was cute or something, but... But, you know, she hit me, and I went into shred mode. I went into shred mode.
I
grabbed her by her hair, and I tore her to the ground, and I had these really hot Manolo Blahniks on.
Right, yes.
And started kicking her.
Mm. I hope you didn't break a heel.
I didn't. They were those boot ones. Remember back then? Those really cute, like, combat boot high heel ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, I left that imprint in her face.
And then eventually, when the guys were done masturbating, they're like, all right, we need to break this up.
Well, a crowd must have gathered.
Yes. All right, is everyone in the refractory period? Show hands. All
round
right,
two.
Awesome. Let's break this
up. And go.
But it was horrible. And I, you know, I'm just so not a fighter, even though I'm good at it.
Were you with your girlfriends at the time?
Yeah.
So and did anyone back you up?
A whole, like, a
well, what backup
brawl,
did she need?
Brawl.
She was kicking the crap out of her with her
you
boots.
You should have it there just in case, though.
Yeah, she was not the same woman.
Well, nowadays
she had
nothing to worry about at all.
Yeah, I don't fight anymore. But you'd be surprised. A lot of girls try to start fights with me.
Really?
Yeah. They either love me or they hate me.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah. Well, you know, women are super competitive.
Yeah.
They're more competitive. Actually, they're sort of bred to be competitive because the whole thing is about...
We're competing for resources, men.
It's true.
You're
not
competing. It's a weird, bizarre thing, but you're essentially competing for sperm.
Yeah,
I know it sounds bizarre.
And the best sperm.
And right.
Yeah,
and
you want the best ones possible.
I think Tito's, and I've not sampled a ton, but I'm gonna put Tito's bouquet right at the top of my list.
He's got Ulta sperm.
Yes. He really does have some of the best sperm in the United States.
I like
a little sherbet to cleanse my palate in between when I go to a tasting. But
that's
the point
horrible.
Is...
You said sherbet.
He did. I know.
It's a palate cleanser.
It is.
The point is this. Guys compete sort of physically, and then we're done with each other. You women never stop competing.
Never stop plotting.
It's a positioning. The whole game is a big stratego
game.
Jen
and I were just talking about this during the break. We were talking about The Apprentice and how the guys just insult the hell out of each other. Then they're buds five minutes later. Women, if we said those kind of horrible things to each other, it would be 10 years before one person called the other.
We hold grudges.
Yeah.
Yes, you do. All right. We need to take ourselves a break. Where did the time go? Tito or T's new book is coming out in June. It is autobiographical. It's called This Is Gonna Hurt. Also, Jenna Jameson has herself a movie called Zombie Strippers. It'll be in theaters April 18th. You can go to Club Jenna.
Or you can go to my MySpace, which is myspace.com/Jenna Jameson. And that's like the ultimate, like, everything.
Done and done. We'll take ourselves a break. When we come back, speaking of relationships, T and I will dispense some advice. Love line style. You got a problem? 866-901-ADAM. We'll do that next. Awesome.
This is 97.1 Free HD2. You'll never miss the Adam Carolla Show, because that's all we've got. Hey, if it's Adam Carolla all day, you gotta have some crank yankers, right? Here's another great one on 97.1 Free 2 HD.
Swimming Birds.
Hi. I need to talk to a customer service person, or can I just talk to you? Or?
Sure.
I bought a handbag there.
Uh-huh.
A Desmo.
Right.
And I had no idea that it was a lesbian purse. And my fiancé's sister, who's a lesbian, pointed that out. And now he broke off the wedding. And I am irate, to say the least. You know, I'd like to exchange with this bag for a more of a non-lesbian handbag. I'd like the lesbian who sold it to me to be fired.
Well, I mean, when did you get the purse?
I bought it Thursday.
Okay. You want to return the purse?
Yes, I would like to return
okay,
the purse.
Fine.
I'd like to get a heterosexual purse.
Which Desmo bag did you get?
The Lesbo one.
I have not.
I should have figured when it was Desmo. Desmo sounds like a deaf person saying Lesbo. Desmo.
It's a Desmo. I know what a Desmo bag is.
Great.
Okay, you know, let me get your name and phone number, and I'm going to have the manager call you back.
Hadassah the Lesbian Guberman.
I'm sorry?
I should have known when the sales girl kissed me on the lips that this was not going to be something for me.
And do you know who sold you the purse?
Her name was Steve.
We don't even have a Steve that works here.
Well, I just think it's funny now all of a sudden you want my phone number. I mean, it's just like,
but we don't
I'm not
even
that
have,
way.
We don't even have a Steve that works here.
She looked like a Steve. I don't know what her real name was.
Okay, and your phone number?
Are you hitting on me?
Oh, no, I am not hitting on you. You're calling about a purse that you want to return, and we'd be happy to, if you want to send it back to us, we'll refund it on your credit card.
I would like to return it. I'd like to exchange it, but I need a handbag. I don't want to be without a handbag. I don't have to wait until Monday for your manager to call. A handbag is like
okay,
is
well,
like a vagina. It's personal. It's a part of me. I keep things in it.
Okay. Well, actually, I have a store full of people right now, so can I call you back?
Okay.
Hello?
My fiancé thinks that that's why I never gave him oral sex is because I'm a lesbian. And it's like, how do you tell somebody I'm not gay? You just have a really ugly penis.
Okay.
Scary.
Okay. I'm going to have to hang up here. Okay? I'm sorry.
I'm Peter Griffin, and you're listening to 97.1 Free 2 HD.
Adam Carolla Show, where it's time for T and the Ace Man to dish out some free love advice. So call 866-901-ADAM and be a part of the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, let's start by hopping over to Jamie, who's a male, calling from Las Vegas. Jamie?
Yes, sir.
What's the problem, brada?
My wife wishes death upon my best friend. An intense hatred.
Mm-hmm.
Not sitcom style where they trade quips back and forth, but screams at the top of her lungs about how he wished she would die. She wishes he would die.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with him?
He takes up some of my time.
Uh-huh. She's possessive.
Extremely.
You know, it's funny, back when Jimmy and I were in our honeymoon phase.
Yeah.
His wife at the time hated me so much that, and she was mean anyway, I used to call up and she'd pick up the phone and I'd go, hey Gina, is Jimmy there? And then I'd hear silence and I'd hear the phone hit the countertop. And then I'd hear her yell, Jimmy! And then I wouldn't hear anything else, and then I'd hear him pick up the phone. She wouldn't even throw.
No, just a second.
She wouldn't
I'll
even
get him.
Toss out a hold on.
Now, you think she was angry because you were taking up his time and energy and maybe love.
She was angry in general, but then there was a, you know, yeah, and then they're taking up time. And then what ends up happening oftentimes is the guy or the girl, depending on what the relationship is, looks forward to spending their time with someone else more than they look forward to spending time with the person they married. Is that your situation, Jamie?
Well, not particularly. I love spending time with her. It's just that it's natural to have at least one friend to do guy stuff with.
Has she, by the way, or they ever had an exchange, or has there ever been a situation where you rolled in at 3:30 in the morning with stripper glitter on and she thought you were playing softball and it turns out he took you out to a strip club and now she's forever got it in for him? Do you know what I mean? Is there an incident that she could point to?
Yes, she points out lots of incidences, actually.
Let me just say this in general, overall, philosophically. Hang on for a second. There's a lot of mates that don't want their mates to have other playmates, friends, male or female, people to spend time with. Yeah. I like that. It takes the pressure off you.
Right.
When they have no friends, when you've alienated all of your wife or husband's friends, now they're just at home staring at you saying, well, entertain me.
Right.
I love it when my wife goes out with her girlfriends. I'm assuming she likes it when I step out every once in a while with the boys. It gives you a little bit of a break. I don't understand that plan and that focus. And then, do those couples ever really get along that well? And what are they doing? Just staring into each other's eyes night after night? And don't you just want to kill the person eventually? Like, what is your strategy trying to get your person not to go out every once in a while?
Well, it speaks to an insecurity and an instability in the relationship. The boyfriend I had before Batman, Brandon, he was very, very jealous of one girlfriend of mine.
Girlfriend?
A girlfriend of mine who was extremely pretty. And whenever we would go out, maybe we'd get a lot of attention because of her. And he was always really bitchy about her and negative. And I couldn't figure it out. And then I realized he's jealous of her because she takes my time. It's very odd.
And
thing.
Attracts folks of the opposite sex. Jamie?
Yes, sir.
Here's what I do believe you need to do, and call me old-fashioned, call me Gene Simmons, but I do believe that most women secretly want the guy to be the guy in the relationship.
Set a boundary.
They want boundaries. They're almost like kids. They fight, they push, they cry, they go against whatever direction you're going, but at the end of the day, when the dust settles, they want you to go, hey, I'm not doing anything wrong here. He's a friend of mine. I don't see him every night, but once a week, we go out, we grab a beer, we have dinner. We don't go to a whorehouse. I'm going, deal with it. I think they like that, and that's what I would suggest. By the way, you go pick him up. Don't have him come by your pad.
And I would minimize the contact between the two. And to be fair to your wife, who I don't know, I would say 75% of the guys I've dated in my life have one friend who's just a huge douchebag.
Yes. And let me, he's basically Jeremy Piven from whatever that show. From Entourage.
There's usually
one of those guys. But let me say this too, folks, and I am not going to mention any names, but I have some friends who have wives that have no female friends.
Bad sign.
A, it's a horrible sign. B, your mate needs you to have female friends, not for you, for them. Both of you should have friends. You're putting way too much pressure on the relationship.
Yeah.
And then just cosmically, is that your overall plan to go through life with no friends?
There are couples like that.
There are couples that way. I don't know as many guys as I know women that way. I know certain women who are married who are like, I don't have female friends. I don't like female friends. I don't have any. And I'm like, what the F kind of strategy is
Listen,
that?
Listen, I already have Jenna Jameson in my top eight.
I know.
I love her.
All you've got is friends. That's all I ever had.
It's the most important thing is your community of people.
Twice as important as my family. And by the way, I'm being very kind if you're listening when
you
I say twice as
family.
Much.
You mean they are your immediate family. But you don't mean your wife and kids.
Growing up, my friends were 10 times more important than my mom or my dad.
They were
quite
more
easily,
family.
Quite easily. Ate more meals over at their house, spent more time, had more good times. I went water skiing one time. Guess who I went with? Not my family.
Even the one time you were beaten, or the two times, were not at the hands of your own family.
I was actually smacked by friends' parents more than I was my own Parents. I went water skiing one time. I went with a friend. I went snow skiing one time. I went with a friend. Every time I went motorcycle riding in the desert, I went with my buddy Chris. And the lion's share of the times I sat down and had a good home-cooked meal was over at Ray's house or over at Chris's house. Yes, I owe my friends and their family everything. And without them, I don't think I'd be where I am today. You people should have friends. You need friends. And when I met Jimmy, my friend, he's the guy who got me into this business. Had nothing to do with family. Zero to do with my family. So, I suggest you guys make some friends.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah. Thanks for all the help.
I'll tell you what, the Kimmels have certainly been supportive of you.
Yes, they have. Yes, they have. All right. Now, who do you want to talk to
Melissa next? Melissa on line 4.
All right, let's talk to Tanya on line 7.
It never gets old.
Tanya?
Hi.
What's happening?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What's happening, my dear?
I'm getting ready for work.
All right. Where do you work?
I work for the Las Vegas Advisor.
Mm-hmm.
So newspaper.
Newspaper?
Yeah, it's mostly online.
All right. What do you do over there?
I'm a research assistant.
All right. So what can we do you for this morning?
Well, let's see. I've been with my boyfriend for 6 years. I've known him for 10, and we just had a baby together. And for some reason, I can't get him to ask me to marry him.
Hmm. Were you ever... hey, can I ask you a question?
Uh-huh.
Were you ever molested?
No.
Hmm?
No.
Hmm? What happened? When did you lose your virginity?
18.
18?
Yeah.
You've known him since you were 13.
Yeah.
You guys stuck it out without sticking it somewhere else for 5 years?
Yep, long time.
Wow, that's either love or super pathetic.
Well, you've had a child, so I assume marriage has come up. What has he said about it?
He doesn't really say anything. He kind of avoids the whole conversation.
Mm-hmm. So he wants or did have a kid, but he's not thinking about marriage. Most folks that were sweethearts from the 7th or 8th grade on are about ready for marriage. As a matter of fact, I'd be ready for divorce about now if I were him. Seeing as I've been seeing somebody that I met in the 7th grade at the cafeteria, and we're now into our early 20s. But no marriage for him. Are his parents divorced?
Yes.
Mm. So he's seen divorce firsthand, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
Did they have a messy divorce? Does he have feelings about that?
He was really, really young.
And
his dad left when he was about 4 or 5.
And it negatively affected him, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, oftentimes when folks have a bad experience with something, they don't want to recreate it. And on the other hand, if half the people are getting divorced, well, someone's going to have to get over it because everyone eventually, I mean, everyone I know's parents are divorced. That doesn't mean you can't get married. It just means you're going to get divorced, too.
I can't wait for my first marriage. Just trying to get that underway.
Just get that thing up and over with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's blow the hymen off that baby so we can get to our second one.
Sometimes guys are really dense, though. Am I right about this, Adam? And you might actually have to even say, I would like a ring.
You might have to tell him to S or get off the pot when it comes to this. And even though you have a child, you guys have been together long enough, you have a child, and I think you deserve this. So I would just go ahead and lay it down, and he will then marry you. Now, unfortunately, he will do it not wanting to do it, but he'll get used to it, and he'll actually like it, because the pressure of living in a relationship where somebody wants to get married and the other one doesn't is much worse than the one who gets married thinks it's going to be when he's married. I know that sounded convoluted. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I totally got it.
Because Tanya, every single time you guys go to someone else's wedding, you drive home with a look like you just bit into an S sandwich, right?
Oh, yeah. His mom got married last weekend.
Right. And you were there, and he was there. And how was the ride home from the wedding?
Quiet.
That's right. S sandwich. And every once in a while when you guys go out of town and he doesn't propose, how's that drive home?
About the same.
Another bite from the same S hoagie.
Oh, yeah.
S hoagie. Just be a good name on a gym shirt. You know what I mean? S. Hoagie. Maybe the guy's name is Sean. So he should do it just so you don't have to bite into that S. Hoagie every time you drive home from a marriage or someone else's marriage or from a weekend at the point. Yes.
And this is just my two cents, but instead of saying S or get off the pot, I don't want to eat off this S. Hoagie anymore, or making it an ultimatum, I might phrase it more like, I would love to be your wife. Thus, it can be sort of his idea.
Try that, but if it doesn't work, then you do the S or get off the pot and he'll cave. All right, we need to take a quick break. We have many more of your questions. Tina, who did you want to talk to? Melissa?
Yeah.
Wants to know how to stop having sex with her ex.
Yeah, common problem with women. We like to go back down memory lane.
Mm-hmm.
And F it.
Good name for TV. Memory lane.
A lot of good memories.
Ah, I wasn't thinking good. We'll take a quick break. A quick break, back with the rest of your relationship questions next.
Now, here's another Adam Carolla comedy clip from Bill Maher.
Health matters. It was always my opinion that food, at least the food we eat in this country, was at least as bad for your health as smoking, which now, to my view, has culminated in the gastric bypass operation. You know this, where people have their stomach stapled and then they take a big victory lap. Hey, you lost 150 pounds. How'd you do it? How'd he do it? They took out the organ that digests the food. What do you mean, how did he do it? And you stuck with it, huh? This is like crazy gluing your nostrils shut to quit cocaine. And then getting a big pat on the back about it.
More Adam Carolla coming your way next on 97.1 32 HD, SoCal's high definition FM talk station.
What's up? I'm Joe Rogan, and you are listening to 97.1 Free 2 HD. Now, there's not a whole lot of people listening, so you're amongst rare company. This is a privileged few that are listening to this super cool HD radio thing that you're listening to right now. You're ahead of the curve.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. In theaters March 21st, Adam Carolla in The Hammer.
The La Brea Tar Pits.
Tar's not an attraction, it's a detraction. You try to get away from tar. Any other city, by the way, would have filled this in with kitty litter years ago. This is humiliating.
The Hammer, in theaters March 21st. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Enjoy, everybody. Yeah, the 21st. We'll all go out and see The Hammer. Got a very nice review in the Hollywood Reporter.
Yeah, loved you, and called it one of the best takes on Rocky since the movie Rocky.
Yeah, I was reading that. It was very flattering. It basically said that the genre has been attempted to be replicated many times with not much success, but this came the closest.
And they described you as, I think it was quietly masculine. I can't remember exactly. It wasn't quietly. That's not the right word. Exquisitely?
Gaily masculine, yep. I think is how they described me.
Subtle masculinity. Okay.
There was something to it. Yeah, I can't remember what it was. All right. Where were we? We were helping you. So we're going to talk to Melissa.
Yeah.
Melissa's stepping out with her ex. Melissa?
Hi. How are you today?
Good. Now, you're currently with somebody?
Well, my husband and I, long story short, have known each other since we were 12. Hooked up when we were 21, have been married ever since, have two kids. He called me at work and said that he wanted a divorce, and I had no idea about it. And then that was 8 weeks later, and now we've been seeing each other on and off every couple weeks. And
why did he call you at work and say he wanted a divorce?
Because he's a wuss. I don't know. He didn't want to say it to my face.
I know, but I guess what I'm saying is it's sort of like the answer I get when I say, why were you in prison? And they say parole violation. I want to know what led up to him calling. I know he's a wuss. And by the way, how weird is that? Hold on. When you're at work, you know, have you ever had one of those freak out days at work? We've all been there. We just got dumped, or we're horribly depressed, or we're this close to breaking into tears. And then somebody walks by your cubicle and is like, hey, did you get that Jenkins report done? You've just hung up the phone, and you have that weird sort of like your adrenaline's pumping and you're angry and you want to cry and you don't know what to do, but you don't want to show it to the person.
Yes.
We have like so much much adrenaline pumping that you have no memory or conversation, no memory of the conversation that you guys are having about whatever it is?
I had a very surreal day at TMZ during which my brother was having a 15-hour tumor removal surgery, and I was just reporting on Brittany.
Right.
Had to go about my day. It was very, very weird.
Mm. He's saying, what, Brittany? He's saying that Brittany going to a Starbucks in Marina Del Rey is less important than your brother's?
I would never say that.
Tumor removal?
Not to Harvey.
So, Melissa.
Yes.
So, he wanted a divorce. Why?
Well, he said that he felt that I deserve to be loved as much as I love someone else.
He's right.
He didn't think that I could, that he could love me as much as I deserve to be loved. And I agreed to that, but I do love him so much. You know, we've known each other for so long. I've never felt a connection like that with anyone.
It's hard to let go, right, Melissa?
Yeah, but hard to let go.
But let's try to cut through the fog of this story.
Okay.
He wanted out. Why? Did he meet somebody else?
He doesn't love her.
No, that's the hard thing. If he would have met somebody else, I would have been okay with it. But he's not with anybody else. I talk to him every day. I know where he's at all times still.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm confused.
Is saying he's not in love with you.
But now he is. See, yesterday he called me and asked and said, the ball's in your court now, and I want you back.
This guy literally phones it in. And what's he do, like, when he wants oral? Put his junk through the receiver of the phone? Like, this guy's, like, on the blower, like, hey, what are you doing for the rest of your life? I'm at work. Well, I'm down at my apartment, and I'm on one knee, so I'd like to propose to you. Are we on speaker, by the way?
The roaming charges on this sex life.
I'll tell you, here's what I got planned for the honeymoon. You go to Acapulco, and I'm going to text message you here from Arizona. What's up with this guy? Does he ever show up?
Well, here's the thing. Is yesterday he said he was going to take him and my son out to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Then he's living with his parents, okay, right now. And I'm living in our apartment. And he says...
Bell says...
Well, he's got, like, his single man support group up there. It's freaking awesome.
I'd like to take you guys out to dinner and then finish it up with some sex. So here's what we're going to do. You guys show up at my mom's house. I'm going to go ahead and slide a Hungry Man dinner underneath the door. Junior can eat that. Then have him wait in the car. I'm going to put my Dingleberry right through the mail slot, and you can perform on that. And then I'll talk to you through the peephole, okay?
Oh, I love how you can make this funny.
All right, this is going to be awesome. And then I'll call you on your cell when you're leaving. This guy sounds very intimate.
Yes. Well, the thing is the sex is great, and we both agree on that. We don't have any problems there. Of course, he's a guy, right?
Better but, since he left?
No.
Puts his phone on vibrate.
I end up crying and taking a rape shower afterwards because he leaves. You know what I mean? So.
All right.
It's
so
awful.
You've known.
No, it's awful. I've done this.
You've known this guy for a million years. You have a kid. You know what it sounds. Here's what it sounds like to me.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like his life is not going well.
It's not.
It sounds like he's depressed.
He is.
And let me tell you this. Most guys, when things don't go well, we become like cats or Indians who go off to die somewhere. We don't want to die in the living room. A dog will die right on the middle of your bed. A cat, what's the cat do? Cat knows when it's going to die, like an Indian. Time to go to the top of the mountain and call it a life. So when guys are depressed, when their career's not going well, when they're forced to move back in with their mom and all that, they just want everything to go away. They get depressed. They take it out. This guy's one good job and one good promotion away from coming back into this relationship with a renewed sense of confidence.
Well, this is the thing. He's actually almost done with his apprenticeship. He's a union carpenter. He builds casinos here in Las Vegas. He does finish work.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually demoted myself at work so he could do that, so I could be the mom, you know, and he could do that. I'm an electrical estimator, so my job requires a lot of management and
Well, what happened with him and his job?
He recently got laid off. He was doing the Palazzo Tower by the Venetian. They just finished. He's going to go to the Wynn next, but that doesn't start till April 8th.
Awesome,
so I think
sex
that's
position,
kind of the
too, by the way.
The Palazzo?
The Palazzo Tower.
It's beautiful. It's
hey,
beautiful
went to Rome.
All right, so here's what he needs to do. he needs to get out of wishy-washyville with you guys because you have a kid. Go ahead and yank his chain a little bit and let him know that it's not okay just to have sex when he feels like
it. Yeah, it's too painful.
He needs to get back to work because when guys don't have work, you see, guys, so much of the way guys view themselves is wrapped up in their career, wrapped up in their savings account, wrapped up in their wallet. It's just the way society works. And when this guy loses his gig and has to slink home to mama's house, that's going to be a very depressed, non-confident man that you're dealing with. He's got to get his gig back, and you also got to... Guys will also do what they can do as long as they can do it for.
Yeah, do you think Melissa, in the meantime, should cut him off?
Yes. Cut him off sexually. All right, one more, T. Who do you want to talk to?
Oh, gosh. How about best sex position with a pregnant woman on line two?
Mm-hmm. Chris?
Yeah.
You have yourself a pregnant wife?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You sound over the moon.
Pretty large, so I'm just kind of worried about having sex.
Well, how far along is she?
About 8 months.
8 months. They say you can basically do whatever you want.
Right. Some people say it even kind of relieves some stress and some cramping and things.
Mm-hmm. You know, Dr. Drew's a passionate man.
Yeah.
He said he was in there right as they were giving birth. He was actually forced out.
Traffic. Oh, by one of the... Well, he has triplets, right?
It's like in an airplane when you have to, like, walk past the stewardess who's giving out the drinks, kind of go side to side.
Yeah, to do...
Excuse me.
Flight attendant.
They give that move, yeah. She had the drink cart, though.
Right.
So he said he couldn't get past her.
Oh, no, she had triplets.
Yeah, I remember this when my wife was pregnant. I don't remember really having a conversation about it. I don't know why, but I don't know if you call it a puss or squeamish or whatever it is. When the kids are on there, I feel like I'm half humping the kids. I really did.
I know.
It's pretty.
Bend them over. Just bend them over and look at them from behind. You know, you just don't see the stomach.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chris, you seem to have a pretty good handle on this one.
Hey, have you got your Skyline yet?
Oh, Chris is the guy we're talking to about.
This is Chris.
Pretty good, huh, Adam?
Yeah, you're a genius.
Oh, he hung up.
All right, he was called us in 6 o'clock hour and gave us some crap.
That's a pretty good gotcha right there.
It's pretty good gotcha.
I'm so glad he's not actually procreating. I feel really relieved about that.
All right, one more quick one. How do I break it to my girlfriend that my divorce is not final? You like that?
Yeah.
All right, let's try that one. Cash?
Yeah, what's up, Ace Man?
What's happening, Cash?
Hey, I just want to say congratulations on that movie coming out. I can't wait to see it.
Thank you, Cash.
Wow.
That was abrupt. So your problem is what, Cash?
Well, I was married to this girl for a few years, and she was a total nut job, and I finally mailed her back to her mom. And now I'm with this new girl, and she's just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And I never really found a point in the relationship where, you know, it was okay. I didn't want to tell her too early that, you know, I'd been married before. And then now we've been together for like 6 months, so it's kind of like, do I just not tell her, or what do I do?
All right, so the stigma of a divorce, is that what you're talking about?
I think it's the fact that he hasn't told her yet, and it's been 6 months.
Yeah.
Right, but the fact that he hasn't told her has to do with the stigma of losing or loving and losing before. Now, is your divorce final?
No, it's not.
Right. Here's what I would say. In this day and age of almost everybody marrying and divorcing, and again, T, let's get that first one in the bank so we can move on to number two. This is not news to anybody. There's no stigma to it anymore. Now, it's weird that you haven't said anything because then it becomes something.
That's the real problem, is she's going to worry that you've kind of lied, a lie of omission.
Yeah. Now, so it doesn't become one of those 80s movies where she finds out, slaps you, says, you scream, let me explain, and she walks out of the restaurant with the neon indoors and the Nagel paintings. You need to say to her, cards on the table, look, I'm going to tell you something I hadn't told you before.
Yeah, it's good to prepare someone.
Mm, yeah, you know what else is good?
What?
When you go with the prep, they'll always go worst case scenario.
Yes, I know.
And it'll almost always be, I mean, unless the answer, like when I say, hey, Teresa,
yeah.
I need to talk to you about something.
I'm already convinced I'm fired.
Right. And you have AIDS and cancer.
Right.
Bad news. Your cancer has AIDS.
But not my cancer.
Yes, your precious
cancer. My
cancer
was living such a wonderful life.
Well, it's been struck down in its prime.
I thought my cancer was really careful.
I'll see you at the hospice. As a matter of fact, I'll send the pink slip to the hospice. Actually, you know what we're going to do? We're going to make a toe tag out of your pink slip. That'll be awesome. You can wear it into your grave. No, when somebody says, Teresa, if you and I were together for 6 months.
Right.
And everything was going gangbusters and we were in love. And I just said to you, hey, listen, this isn't the right place. But tonight when we have dinner, I really need to talk to you about something. You would be freaking out. Like, I'm gay. I'm seeing somebody else. I don't, you'd be freaking out. And when I said to you, few years ago, one time I was married, I didn't, first off, you'd be relieved, right?
Absolutely.
So you do, and you can do it with anything in life. You do the build up. You do that big build up. Hey, Tia, I need you to talk about something later. And then give it an hour. Later on, your mind is racing, freaking out. What did I do? Something horrible's happened. Then it's a relief, number right. one. Then here's how you spin it. I was so into you. I was so enamored with you. I was so in love with you that I was so scared that I would spoil it or that somehow you would run away if you found out about this that I didn't want to tell you. So it's almost a compliment. Like, I was so into you, I didn't want to tell you any of this news for thinking that, you know, you may look at me in a different light and spoil it. So you turn it into, here's how I was so into you, I lied about my past.
And I think that's actually the truth for Cash, and he should definitely lead with that.
Right. So lead with the, could I talk to you about something important?
Right. This might be a little bit difficult to hear, and I regret how I've handled it.
Ooh, her mind is racing in a horrible direction. Then finds out you're divorced. She's immediately relieved. Then turns into compliment. Then you get hit with a skillet. All right. what happened to that? We'll take ourselves a break. When we come back, we'll see if we can dethrone the reigning king of totally topical TiVo trivia today. This is where
Tuesday.
We read actual TiVo descriptions. You know when you turn your TiVo on, if you have one, it'll give a quick little blurb about what the movie's about. Who can chime in the fastest? Who can tell us what the movie is just on the TiVo description?
We're playing for callers, right?
Yeah. $500 going to a listener, thanks to our good friends at No Country for Old Men.
Hey, I listen.
On DVD and Blu-ray.
I got these headphones. I listen. Am I eligible?
Yeah. No. Quick break. We'll play our TiVo game next.
I'm ready to light one up with you, player. So holler at me. Get back to this show. Adam Carolla, right here on 97.1 Free 2 HD. It's not the morning show, right? Because it's all day on HD.
KLSX, HD2, Los Angeles. This is 97.1 Free HD2, SoCal's high-definition FM talk station.
Keep it locked on the Adam Carolla Show to win $500, courtesy of No Country for Old Men. When a man stumbles on a pickup truck loaded with $2 million, his decision to take the money sets off a chain reaction of violence. It's out today on DVD and Blu-ray, starring Tommy Lee Jones, Javier Bardem, and Josh Brolin. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, best movie of the year, if you ask me.
Easily. And it wasn't his decision to take the money, in my opinion, that led to the trouble. It was the decision to do the right thing and go back and bring the water to the guy who was dying. That, the good deed, was the cause of the problem.
See? Important lesson to all the kids listening. Take the money filled with unmarked 20s.
Don't go back and help the guy who's dying.
Do not help your brother,
when
man.
When you have a moral center, evil wins.
You know, I was just reading the script.
Sorry.
Bald Brian is in studio as per usual. He's the reigning king of this game. We read, although beat me by a millisecond the first game we played. And
you
the
keep
second,
holding on to that.
The second game we played. Well, I just don't like you prancing around holding the belt over your
prancing.
Head.
Prancing.
Well, the prancing is
first
an
of all,
everyday
like mincing,
thing.
Yeah, mincing, to be fair.
Yes, he just sits there and preens, and it essentially was a fight where it went 12 rounds, and it was a split decision, and he's walking around like I never touched him.
Like it was a knockout.
What happened the second time?
The second time, he beat me by one again when my brain froze on deep impact.
Let's
and
focus
that was
on
all.
The positive. Mike Dawson has come all the way from Dudeseldorf.
Oh. That's right. What did you say when you left Dudeseldorf?
As soon as I walked out the door, I said, Lederhosen, Lederhosen.
All right, now these are actual TiVo
descriptions.
Hey, Matt?
Yeah.
You called in first, so I'm going to give you Bald Brian.
Sounds good. I'll take the winner.
He is the reigning champ.
Matt.
He is a loser in life, thus a winner in TiVo trivia.
If so, only life was like the TiVo game.
Hang on. Joseph.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
I'll play for you, number two caller. And let's go to the third caller, which is Mitch. Mitch?
What's happening?
I like guys named Mitch, except for you're 22.
Uh-huh.
I thought they stopped naming guys Mitch in 1978.
Lou, you're my boy!
I don't know any, like, 14-year-old Mitches. There must be a Mitch dad. There's certainly no Mitch grandpa.
Short for Mitchell.
Yeah, it just there's no Mitches. I don't know any young Mitches. I think it's a bunch of, like, Dakotas and other gay
Carter.
Names like that and Carters. All right, Mitch, who's playing for you? T-Bone?
I'm so sorry, Mitch.
All right, so you got T.
Come on, T.
T, hi. You're smart. You've seen a lot of movies, and you're fast on your feet. There's
just
no
haven't
reason.
Haven't usually seen these movies.
There's no reason. We should have a nice mixture of
okay.
movies in the
I'm
mix.
I'm going to focus,
all right,
Mitch.
Let's focus. We have an intro.
Let's play Totally Topical TiVo Trivia. Time. Today,
when you think you know the movie, you yell your name out. After you yell your name out, you'll have a couple of seconds to spit out the title. If that is wrong, the next person will have an opportunity. Here we go, Dawson.
A doctor's teenage daughter gets slinky with the dance teacher.
Adam. Dirty Dancing.
That is correct. From 1987, Dirty Dancing, ace on the board with one.
Now, CT,
what is getting slinky?
I don't even know that movie.
I've seen that movie a dozen times.
I've never seen that movie.
Nobody puts baby in the corner. Wow.
I've actually never seen that movie.
It's a bad sign for
me. I've never seen it either. And T, you've seen it nine times, so that's a very bad sign for you.
On to number two. JFK, LBJ, Vietnam, Watergate.
Brian. Forrest Gump.
From 1994, it is Forrest Gump.
Son of a bitch!
Wow.
I want, by the way, after LBJ, I was ready to ring in.
That was
too.
Good.
That was good.
Yeah. The rest of it says, and other history is seen through the eyes of an Alabama man with an IQ of 75.
I would have gotten it by the end.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of people would have.
That's right.
100% of people would.
Hold on. Did you see the answer off the reflection from Dawson's bong? Turn the carb around.
I did bring
Turn
my
the bowl
three
around so he can't see the
that.
Three chamber.
You
saw the reflection off the six shooter. You just had it polished at the head shop, didn't you?
Yes.
All right.
Normally the reflection jokes are about my head, but this time.
One. You bounce the reflection off Dawson's bone, off of your forehead, and then back onto the page. All right.
And?
One and one. Here we go.
Number three. An alien inventor of a video war game.
Brian. That is The Last Starfighter.
From 1984, it is The Last Starfighter.
Nerd. No one's even heard of that movie.
Centauri!
I like how he's the ringing the ding buzzer.
Please, what a softball for nerds. Never even heard of that. An alien invented a video game.
It was to test actual starfighters for intergalactic warfare.
All right. Now, best of 10. Here we go.
Three become a crowd when a newlywed invites his...
Teresa!
Oh, darn
You,
it.
Me, and Dupree. Yeah.
From 2006, it is you, me, and Dupree.
That's it.
Pretty damn good, because that could have been five or six other movies. All right, T on the board with one, Ace Man with one, Bald Brian with two. Let's continue.
An undercover police officer investigates a gang leader suspected of stealing electronic equipment.
Adam. 40, no, damn, that Eddie Murphy movie, No, let's see. Beverly Hills Cop.
Incorrect. Anyone else?
Can we hear more?
Can you say it again?
That is the end.
Yeah.
An undercover police officer investigates a gang leader suspected of stealing electronic equipment.
Gang leader.
Brian, Gridlocked.
Incorrect.
Wild guess.
Mm.
I don't know.
All right. Nobody knows. First time, by the way, this has happened, I do believe.
That is the actual TiVo description for Teresa. Anything?
Collateral?
No. From 2001, The Fast and the Furious.
No mention of cars.
That
no.
is the TiVo description of The Fast and the Furious.
Don't want to bring an Acura up in that,
no
that description.
No. Automobiles.
Jesus Christ, I've seen that movie 9 times, I'm proud to say, because I do live my life a quarter mile at a time.
Right,
Tokyo Drift.
Sure.
And no mention of automobiles in that one.
Electronic equipment is the automobiles.
So you're just reading reading the description, and you're like, not for me, I'm a car nut.
Right, exactly.
All right, here we go. Wow.
A female descendant of Jesus.
Teresa.
Oh, I know this one.
Teresa, go ahead.
Oh, shoot. This was with Tom Hanks?
No, Brian.
Mm-mm.
Wait. No, hold
on.
Well,
let her spit. She got to spit it out.
It was a female descendant of Jesus. It was that controversial,
No!
Yes. Oh, I can't come up with the name. I can't conjure it.
Keep going.
I'm going. All right,
Brian,
you ready?
Brian.
All right.
Dogma.
No. From 1999, it is Dogma.
What was I trying to think of?
Linda Fiorentino.
You're trying to think of the Da Vinci Code.
Yes, Da Vinci Code.
I was going to say Dogma, too.
Oh.
Brian's got 3, T's got 1, Ace has 1.
Jesus Christ.
That's right, Jesus Christ. He's a
female descendant.
Shut up, let's do it.
David Cronenberg's remake of the 1958 classic.
Brian. Oh, The Thing?
Right?
That is incorrect.
Oh, darn it.
It was a Cronenberg... Oh.
About a botched experiment that transmutes a man into a monster.
Adam.
Oh, no.
The Fly.
The Fly is correct from 1986.
Nice
mm-hmm.
job.
All right, so I got 2. Ball Bryant's got 3.
I've got 1.
We got 4 more?
We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 or so.
Here we go.
Sporting billionaire brothers reverse the roles of a Wall Street...
Adam.
Adam first.
Oh. Damn it, I was so close. I know it.
The rich.
Brian. Oh, I already said it. I already rang in. I am next.
All right, well, you can't make noise while I'm thinking about that Eddie Murphy movie with, what's his name?
I am next, Brian.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll fight you.
All right, go ahead, T. I'll
Brian,
give it
Trading
to
Places.
You. Trading
From
Places.
3 yeah. is Trading Places.
All right, now T's got 2.
Barely, and I have some pity.
I had a brain fart there with Trading
That's
Places.
That's what happened with Da Vinci Code, which ended up wrong.
Rats.
All right, now 2, 2, and 3. Here yes. we go.
A web-footed loner navigates a landless Earth.
Brian, Waterworld.
Oh.
From 1995.
You should be embarrassed.
No, not as bad as people say.
Is that true?
Not as bad.
Not
as people
nearly
say
as bad no. as people
I'm
say
yesterday.
It is.
Really?
Yeah. Silly and overblown, but not bad.
Big. Everyone made a big deal about how bad it was, but it wasn't that bad. It
wasn't at all.
It's the Ishtar of water
right.
action movies. I've said it many times.
Never saw that one.
Put that on the box.
All right, Ball Bryant has 4. You
can
son of a bitch.
Up?
I don't think we can do it, but give us one more anyway,
oh,
you
let's
a-hole.
Let's just do this one.
A college basketball coach leaves the Navy in 1951.
Brian, Hoosiers.
Oh, Hoosiers.
From 1986, it is Hoosiers. Brian has 5.
Let's just keep going.
T2 and Adam 2.
All right, do the rest of them just for fun.
3 dysfunctional co-workers embark on a mission to help their newfound friend lose his sexual innocence.
Teresa.
Oh.
40-year-old virgin.
From 2005, it is the 40-year-old version. T has a chance to tie with this last one.
No, I don't think she does. She has 3.
Adam.
Oh, that is correct. I don't do math in public.
Last one, Stoner.
I'm busy
Here we
listening
go.
To clips. Go ahead, you guys.
A filmmaking crew hikes into Maryland's Black
Brian,
Hills.
Brian, Blair Witch Project.
From 1999, the Blair Witch Project.
Hard to beat Bald Brian at this one. That was a slaughter right there. Let's see.
You Who know, the Patriots had some close games early last season.
Hey, Matt?
Yeah, what's happening, Matt?
You just won yourself $500.
Thank you, Brian. I knew I could count on the horse to win as always.
Yeah. I got out of the gates pretty good with the first win. Then I had a nice big old brain fart on trading places and
never recovered.
And some of those things, to be fair, there's some of those movies that could go one way or the other early on with the first two or three words that Bald Brian, you know, those ones that say like a harebrained scheme and then Bald Brian jumps in and knows the answer. Yeah. I have narrowed it down to about five movies. When I hear about two brothers find money in the woods, it's like, all right, hold on. I'm now down to about three movies, but Brian singles it in. Thank you.
Yeah, right. You're excellent at this game, and I really love the humility with which you win.
Well, keep convincing yourself it's luck.
All right.
Tune in for more Totally Topical TiVo Trivia. Tomorrow or Tuesday.
Bald Brian. And again, the first two times were close, but we had to enact the slaughter rule on this one. It is all. All right, Bald Brian, you quiet down. Okay. T, what's coming up in the news?
Well, we should mention that he got the $500. Again, courtesy of No Country for Old Men, which is out today on DVD and Blu-ray. In the news, Elliot Spitzer in a lot of hot water with a lot of people.
I frankly thought it was, though, a little disingenuous when he said that this was a private matter.
And that's not all going on in New York. A female dwarf pimp was arrested. More on that.
Yay. Quick break. Back with the news next.
You're listening to Free 2 HD.
Hey, y'all. It's the Valley Stud, and you know I'm always on that digital network, 97.1 Free 2 HD, because I'm high, definitely, or high definition.
Face it, you love crank yankers. Well, here's another one on 97.1 Free 2 HD.
Thank you for calling Tuxedo Shop. This is Marianne. How can I help?
I'm calling about the tuxedo, the rent.
Okay. Did you, what was your special event?
I want to rent it for my brother, Charlie.
Okay. Well, our prices start at $49.95 and then gradually go up depending on the type of tuxedo.
Something snazzy.
Okay.
Yeah, my brother, Charlie. He's a beautiful man.
Oh, I'm...
But he was looking to rent him a tuxedo for his funeral.
Okay. Well, if you'd like to go ahead and get his measurements and then call
him... What I'd like to do is... get him into this here tuxedo before we bury him.
Okay, yeah. I don't really think I can rent you a tuxedo. I'm sorry. If you'd like to come in and buy one,
It's cheaper to rent them, right?
Not for all eternity, it wouldn't be. We couldn't rent you one have you bury him with it on.
You're not going to live forever. Lie on. You can't take it with you. I want to rent it, and then never give it back.
Yeah, that's not going to work. I'm sorry.
How come?
Well, if you rent it, then you have to return it. And not only that, but I'm not exactly sure that my boss would be real pleased with me if I rented one to someone that wanted to put it on a...
I'll bring it back then. Or wink, wink.
No, I'm sorry, sir. If you would like to come in and buy one...
And I want the finest tuxedo you got there.
Sir, I'm sorry, but
the top of the line.
I won't
Nothing's
be able to rent
too good
one
for my brother, Charlie.
Okay, and, you know,
he
I understand
died
that.
Of a broken heart.
Okay, well, I can sell
and
you one.
He was hit by a Cadillac convertible, too.
Okay, well, I can sell you a tuxedo, sir, but I won't be able to rent you.
My brother was a ventriloquist in his day. He had a dummy, and his name was Little Charlie.
Okay, sir.
And they did an act together on vaudeville called Charlie and Little Charlie. They were the best comedy team in the world.
Sir, I can't help you. I'm sorry. I can't.
I miss my brother. Help me, Miriam.
I'm sorry, sir, but I can't.
Darling. Charlie said to me before he died, rent, rent, always rent. My brother Charlie's last wish was to be buried in a tuxedo.
Okay, well, we can't rent you in a tuxedo if you're going to bury the person in it.
You could, darling. You could do it.
Sir, I actually have to go now. I'm sorry.
Okay, darling. I have to go, too, because my colostomy bag is full.
Bye-bye.
Gonna get your tuxedo, Charlie, and we're never gonna give it back.
I'm Juliana Rancic, formerly DePandy, until I got married, and you are listening to 97.1 Free 2 HD, the FM talk station, where the FM stands for People on the Radio with Large Heads, and that's why I love this place.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. In theaters March 21st, Adam Carolla in The Hammer.
Let's go Dutch.
The Dutch must be some cheap bastards to be known throughout the world for this one thing. You ever think about that?
Yes. Well, don't forget tulips or wooden shoes.
Yeah, but when people say let's go Dutch, they're not talking about going wooden shoe shopping. They're talking about splitting the check. I'm just saying, how many checks do you have to split as a nation before this becomes your thing?
Go to AdamCarolla.com and register to win tickets to see the world premiere of The Hammer at the Arclight Hollywood Cinemas on Wednesday, March 19th. The Hammer, in theaters Friday, March 21st. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, T-Bone, you got the news, my dear, so let's hear it.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Last Friday, New York Governor Eliot Spitzer learned he'd been caught on a federal wiretap arranging to meet a high-priced prostitute at a hotel in Washington, D.C. Yesterday, he gave a statement along with his wife, Silda. And here's a little bit of what he had to say.
I apologize first and most importantly to my family. I apologize to the public, whom I promised better. I do not believe that politics in the long run is about individuals. It is about ideas, the public good, and doing what is best for the state of New York. But I have disappointed and failed to live up to the standard I expected of my town. I must now dedicate some time to regain the trust of my family.
I've got some free time.
Yes. This is Stripper Wedgie 69 is popping up on on his pager. And by the way, if I trotted my wife out onto the podium with me when I had to give one of these humiliating speeches, I would force her into a wheelchair. I would not have her standing there. Get in the wheelchair,
that's
sweetie.
That's going to make you look even worse.
Mm-mm. Better.
Oh, I see. People would understand.
People realize. I didn't want to go anywhere.
Right.
You know what I mean?
He didn't want to stray.
She went and did her patriotic chore over there during that Asiatic War.
Right.
She was crippled. Now she's bent and paralyzed. And I got to go into town.
You're
you know
Ruby.
What I'm saying?
You'd be the Ruby.
I'm what the song is about. Yeah. I'm what the Kenny Rogers song is about. And then, but I stayed with her. But I'm a man. A man right. of passion.
Everyone now, would understand that.
Honey, get in the wheelchair. I'm going to wheel you
out. And what if she accidentally started, like, kicking her leg out of nerves? Give away the whole thing.
I'd put one of those dog shocker collars on her, too, that I could hit secretly on my belt buckle. She started moving.
Well, here's the latest. New York Republicans say
Why do these women need to go out on stage? Did Jim McGreevy's wife need to go out there to find out he was a gay American?
I am a gay American.
Oh,
well,
that,
she found out the day before.
That's awesome. And where does it end? Like, hey, kids. Yeah, come on home from college. Guess what? Dad's been banging horse. Come on down. We're getting on the podium. It's going to be an awesome press conference. It's a press conference, except for it's one of those ones where we don't take any questions because they'd all get horribly painful. So, sweetie, I know you're S-ripped at me right now, but how about I trot you out on stage and you stand behind your man, huh?
Well, that's when you end up with the giant sorry diamond like Kobe Bryant's wife got.
I said it once. I've said it a thousand times. When you get popped for cheating, do not march your wife out there with you. And then when the first question is, where's your wife? Answer, at home, burning my crap. She's PO'd. Immediately, people feel sympathetic instead of looking at her and feeling like she's pathetic.
New York Republicans say they will seek to impeach Governor Eliot Spitzer if he doesn't resign within 48 hours.
And here's the other thing, too. By the way, let's give him 2 days.
That's what we're giving
him. Huh? Oh, yeah. Okay. The other thing.
Yeah.
Would it work the other way around? If a guy was married to a governor or governess or whatever they would call them, and she went off and she went and had an affair with multiple male prostitutes, and she was giving a press conference. Do you think that husband would stand behind her?
Maybe.
And what would we call him?
P-whipped, henpecked.
That's right.
You name it.
Yes, all the above and then some.
Well, Karl Rove had a few things to say. He's a former Bush advisor. And he wanted to point out that this situation is not like what happened with Senator Larry Craig. In fact, it's much worse.
I frankly thought it was, though, a little disingenuous when he said that this was a private matter. You know, hiring a prostitute and getting her to go from New York to Washington to meet you in room 871 at the Mayflower Hotel is not a private matter if you're the governor of the state of New York.
Mm-hmm. And Larry Craig was the guy who was...
took a wide stance at the Minneapolis airport.
He's gay!
And then somehow when the undercover cop pulled him into the back room and tried to arrest him, he just admitted he was guilty and then later on said he was confused.
He loved to smoke poles.
Does it ever happen to you? I know there's a lot of, like, confessions and then later on people go like, hey, man, I was under duress. Like, does it ever happen to you that you go walking outside of a supermarket and someone chases you down into the parking lot and goes, hey, man... you stole a loaf of bread, and you go, okay. Like, does that ever work? You just get confused?
Heck no, but I do think sometimes people get railroaded. I just rewatched Capturing the Freedmans. Did you see that?
No, but look, when you take, 17-year-old black guys with a fourth-grade education, a learning disorder, and a sprinkling of retardation, and you sweat them in some back room for 4 days until eventually they sign a confession.
Right.
That's totally different. This was a white guy who's college-educated, who's in a senator or whatever he is, who's in the government, who's well aware of his rights in the judicial system of the state that he was in. He doesn't get confused and just confess to soliciting a male prostitute.
I think he felt like that was going to make it all go away.
Well, that's the other excuse. Here's what I'm saying. When any of this happens, whether you're OJ or whether you're the guy, I mean, imagine, everybody puts yourself into that situation. I know we're jumping over here. We're just jumping from one stall to the next.
Tangent.
But imagine if you're Craig. You go into the Minneapolis airport to drop a deuce. You sit down. You open the sports page of USA Today. You're a large carriage man. Your legs sort of spread out. Next thing you know, you feel your wingtip press up against another guy's PF flyer. And next thing you know, guy's coming around and cuffing you. I would never stop screaming about this.
Right.
I would be like, are you kidding? I'm going to sue this whole goddamn airport. You won't be able to land an effing Cessna here when I'm done with your ass. And you, I want your effing badge. Now, you touched your foot against my foot for that, your resume. And by the way, I missed my connecting flight. I'm never done screaming about this. Instead of, there's been a misunderstanding. I would like to apologize to my wife. I was confused. And imagine if that just happened. You're the world's straightest, God-fearing Christian, happily married for 30 years. You go to drop a deuce. You spread your legs out a little. You brush up against some guy's foot. Next thing you know, you've been arrested. You miss your flight, and you're getting a strip search. I would go insane. I would not sit there while Barbara Walters asked questions, be very composed, and hold my wife's hand. I'd be like, listen, you have not even heard the beginning of this. I swear to Christ I will not rest, and I will be a billionaire when I'm done suing the ass off of all these people, and I will have apologies written to me on the front page of every goddamn newspaper in the country. My foot touched another guy's foot? I would go insane, not immediately go into a defensive posture. That's how I know these guys are guilty. If you're OJ and you didn't kill your wife, you would never stop yelling about it. If you were literally just hitting golf balls on your front lawn while somebody was stabbing the bejesus out of your wife and someone pointed a finger at you, I'd be outraged. I'd be incensed and insane over it. Not like, no comment.
Not enough righteous indignance.
Yeah.
Think about what your real reaction would be, Teresa, if you want. I know you don't do number twos, but you do have to sit down for number one.
Right.
And let's just say that espadrille got a little bit wide on the stance, and some of the rope that went around the crepe sole Boy, I know a lot about lady shoes.
Jesus.
pressed up against, and next thing you know, you're being arrested and you missed your flight.
At first, what? I'm with you. What the crap? This ain't normal?
I would be insane.
There would be so much indignation that this was a horrible miscarriage of justice, and how dare you say this? This is ridiculous. Then there might be some fear that somehow, even if this just got out, that it's a bell I couldn't unring, and now people are going to think, well, I don't think this is a horrible thing, but let's say it was child molestation or something like that. That
yeah.
even it being referred to in the same sentence with my name, that I wasn't going to be able to undo it, that some people might, I'd be associated with this crime forever. And
right.
It's a terrible feeling to be caught in the maw of the man.
You think you're going to plead guilty, walk away, no harm, no foul. I understand that. But then later on, it gets out. What would those interviews be like with you?
I would say, this is ridiculous. I didn't do this. And how dare the cops waste their time? And I pled
I would
guilty.
Never stop
because
screaming.
I had to.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, anyway, he trotted his wife. And again, I would put my wife out there in a wheelchair. Actually, two wheelchairs. Have her feet up on one, backwards. And have her rolled up there.
So she could be more comfortable?
A, people feel sorry for me. B, they'd realize that she couldn't, you know, offer me the pleasure that I
You know what's
so
strange to
deserve?
Remember? We were talking about Mrs. McGreevy, mm-hmm. and we were talking about Mrs. Spitzer.
How's that conversation go? Hey, honey, do you know how I'm gay? Oh, you don't? Oh. Spoiler alert. Anyway, hey, I'm having a press conference. No, not giving the keys of the city to anybody. Nope, not man of the year. Nope, not going to cut any big ribbons off of a YMCA.
Are we going to the B'nai B'rith luncheon?
You know what? I don't want to step on it again. You come on out with me. I'm going to have a press conference talking about
how... Are we renewing our vows?
Good news and bad news.
Groundbreaking in the Vietnam Memorial?
Good news for you, I'm still an American. Bad news is, I love dudes. Now, I need you to stand behind me and put your best face on. Would you, princess? Even though I'm in no way, shape, or form attracted to your kind, I need you to stand behind me. Because every gay man needs a good woman to stand behind him when he has a press conference announcing to the world he's gay. So come on out, bring the kids. This is going to be awesome. Where do you want to go? Fuddruckers afterward, or just want to...
Ruby Tuesdays?
Awesome.
You may remember that Hillary Clinton was once that woman. She sat by Bill.
I know. No wonder she doesn't want to talk about any of this crap.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, you might be wondering how Spitzer got caught. Mm-hmm. A routine IRS review of bank transactions in a nondescript Long Island office building led to yesterday's lurid allegations about Governor Spitzer and his involvement with the Emperor's Club prostitution ring. The Times, New York Times, that is reporting the IRS agents, I guess they have agents, looking at suspicious transactions reported by banks spotted several questionable ones involving the governor.
Yeah. How many times do I have to say, imagine the utopia we would be living in for a country if the government spent a little more time in the pothole department and a
right.
little less time in the, hey, I got to squeeze a buck out of the folks that run over the potholes. Do you see what I always talk about with the motivation? You see how
right.
good, how thorough they are? The wall that got graffitied that's in front of your house, that'll be covered with graffiti for a year. But
yeah.
when you owe them a nickel, they have a whole bunch of resources and a whole bunch of people looking. They immediately go from retarded and inept to super efficient and super sharp when it comes to squeezing money. So this is just another, hey, somebody may owe us a nickel. Campaign, and now they found the guy.
Well, I'll tell you what, we should put the IRS in charge of solving other crimes because they are extremely efficient.
Don't care. Those crimes, the murders, when your house, see, here's the way our society works. When the guy breaks in your house and rips off your stereo, he doesn't owe the government money. So, where's the motivation? Cops, I'll send a cruiser by in the next 5 to 9 hours. We'll take a report, then we'll go have a cup of coffee. Don't, and by the way, I like it when the cops explain to you not to get your hopes up. Hey, my car was stolen. Yeah, you probably never get it back. Yeah, it's probably in Mexico by now. That's awesome. You guys are doing an awesome job, by the way. Hey, my stereo got ripped off. Yeah, don't ever expect to see that again. I wish the IRS worked that way. Hey, I forgot to pay my taxes last year. Well, that'll just be swept under the rug. You won't be hearing from us. That's all just going to go away. Yeah, they're super good at extracting money and then super lazy and super retarded and super inefficient at everything else.
Well, that's not the only important story involving prostitution out of New York. When we come back, Adam, I've got a story about a female dwarf pimp out of Brooklyn. It's a very sad story.
Wow. Every morning, we seem to hear a sad story about a female dwarf pimp out of Brooklyn.
Just another one.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. Hold on. Bald Brian says he knows the movie. We'll take a... shut up over there. We'll take a... I'm still angry. We'll take a quick break.
John
back
Carpenter.
With the rest of the news now.
This is 97.1 Free HD2, SoCal's high-definition FM talk station. Now, here's another great Crank Yankers episode on 97.1 Free 2 HD.
This is John. May I help you, please?
Yes, hi. Oh, excellent. This is the YMCA.
Yes, sir.
My name is Dick Rogers. I've done some hard living, and I'm ready to turn my life around, and I was told that the YMCA could help me out.
What kind of help do you need, sir?
You know, I'm realizing now there's more to life than booze, and I was told that the YMCA can help me get straight. I'm looking to go straight, you know?
Mm-hmm. We do not have any type of rehab programs.
I'm trying to change my ways, you know?
Sure.
Just the other night, me and the boys passed an Oriental walking down the street, and after giving them a foot sandwich for 5 minutes or so, I just stopped. My heart's just not in anymore.
Yeah.
I'm ready to go clean.
But at this point, you're looking for actually a rehab program, if I'm not mistaken, then.
Well, listen, the problem is I was born with a cold heart. You know, I tell you, it's a condition. You know, I tried to kill a guy at the bowling alley for bowling at the same time as me.
Mm-hmm.
I used to get all soused up and wind up staying all night till midnight, knocking over trash cans, trampling gardens, stealing pies off of windowsills. And I don't want to be that person anymore. That's not me anymore.
Well, what I would do is I would get a hold of some of those community groups because they're the kind that can use...
Well, listen, I've been around the block 100 times. You know, I don't need the soft soap treatment here.
Yeah.
I don't need the rinky-dink here. I mean,
I don't think anybody's trying to rinky-dink you, but I would imagine you want to get pointed in the correct direction.
The last guy who tried to help me go straight cracked wise, a real know-it-all, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the only thing he knows now is what a dirt pillow feels like.
Yeah. Well, that's what I would suggest to you because we don't have any program like that here.
Listen, I feel like I'm swimming upstream here, pal. Old Johnny's ready to take the plunge.
And I've told you how you can go about doing it.
Listen, now, if you turn me away, I swear to God I'll go straight back to the dames and the hooch.
Well, look, you have to make those decisions. I can't make those decisions for you.
You're making that decision for me
now by
giving me the old hiddly-diddly.
No, I don't give decisions to anybody, sir. You make up your own mind. You can't put that on anybody else.
You're a real Jack Dandy,
yeah,
you know that?
Yeah, well, you're the one that's going to make the decision, not me.
God, what I do for a bottle of Old Crow right now and a painted-up $2 floozy.
That's up to you.
I've filled a lot of bellies with lead. I don't want St. Peter giving my name the old ixnay.
Yeah. Well, I've already given you the advice that I'll give you, and I'm not going to change that.
You gave me doodly squat.
Uh-huh. But you make up your own mind. You have to do the things you need to do.
That's why I'm on the phone with you, and you're giving me the old ding-dang.
But then go about and fix it in the correct way, okay?
If the diggity-dang had a clang, I'd sing giggity-sing-sing.
Yeah. Could
and one more thing.
Could be.
You have high-speed internet access to ESL?
No.
You know, I met a lot of pepper squatters in my day, but you take the crumb cake, pal.
That's fine. You have a good evening.
And listen, bluebirds fly, but you're dropping birdseed, pal.
You make a decision.
Dropping birdseed.
Yeah. But good luck to you, sir. Goodbye.
I don't want to be a palooka anymore.
I'm Glenn Quagmire, and you're listening to 97.1 Free 2 HD, the FM talk station. Giggity goo.
And we're back to the Adam Carolla Show.
All right, T-Bone, more news from the news goddess herself.
This is a story about a female dwarf pimp from Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I read that correctly. Here's what happened. A 26-year-old named Jacqueline Green from Brooklyn is less than 4 feet tall. Which
I'm chubby or I'm a lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
Technically,
throwback for the old listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Technically makes her a dwarf.
Mm-hmm.
Jacqueline was arrested last week for pimping out a 15-year-old runaway girl. The girl was not named. Here's how this awful situation came about. Apparently, the teenage girl lived just 2 blocks from Jacqueline.
Mm-hmm.
After running away from what police called a, quote, troubled house, the two met just hanging around the neighborhood. They struck up a friendship, and Jacqueline convinced the girl she could help her earn some money so she wouldn't have to return home to her parents. So she took out an ad on Craigslist and began selling the girl for sex, using her apartment as home base. Last Wednesday, cops found the girl holed up at a nearby apartment and returned her
to her family. On Thursday, Jacqueline pleaded not guilty to a felony charge of promoting prostitution and child endangerment. She is currently being held on $10,000 bail.
How old was Jacqueline, the
26. And the girl is 15.
It's got to be a weird little moment when you've hooked up on Craigslist, decide to come over and pay for some sex, the door goes swinging open, and there's a dwarf standing there. You're like, right. Whoa, hold on. Look, from your headshot, no. You'll be banging the 15-year-old. Oh, thank Christ.
Although there is a fetish.
There is.
Little people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Of the three porns I've ever seen in my life, one of them had little people.
Do you know what they were charging? What was Spitzer paying? He was paying
$1,000 an hour. He was paying $1,000 an hour because the girls were rated by diamonds, one being the lowest, seven being the highest on the high price call girl
website.
What
do you think the dwarf chick was charging? I got to believe it was
below
that. For
the 15-year-old?
Yeah, got to be a lot less than $1,000
an
hour.
What's that, $50 or something?
All right. $1,000. You know, I got to say, in that line, you know, like, there's expensive attorneys, and then there's super expensive attorneys.
Right.
But there's no attorneys that charge $9 an hour, and then ones that charge $20,000 an hour. They're all just sort of expensive. Prostitution, it has a range almost as large as my beloved gourds.
Yes.
Going from the small little miniature apple-sized pumpkins mm-hmm. up to the ones that tip over the flatbed truck that they
right.
take every year that weighs 1,700 pounds. I've seen that Hookers on the Point show.
Oh.
Guys getting BJs for like a cigarette, a chapstick, and a pat on the back. Like literally like a $14 BJ versus $1,000 an hour. I would need legal advice with my BJ. Like, for $1,000 an hour, I'd have to get a BJ and be like, hey, I'm thinking about incorporating in Nevada. Yeah, well, what if I establish a residence in Nevada?
S-Corp or
C-Corp? Speaking of C-Corp,
S-Corp or C-Corp is what she asked him before they got
right.
Yeah.
Look, if I took some of my money and channeled it in an offshore account that came in, I really would need some legal advice.
Along with your high-priced prostitute.
Yes.
You could probably get that.
Put that at the tile out your license plate.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Now, here's a heroic story about a woman who went to any length to protect her cat.
Mm-hmm.
58-year-old Ruth Butterworth
mm-hmm.
walked outside of her house in Brisbane, Australia, and found her cat, Coco, dead. She thinks it was strangled to death by a snake that had been seen in the neighborhood. A few days later, Ruth saw a python crawl under her fence right where Coco's kitten, Tuffy, was playing in the yard.
Yeah, not so Tuffy anymore.
Ruth tried to call Tuffy back into the house, but the snake lunged and coiled around Tuffy, trying to squeeze the kitten to death.
Wow.
Well, Ruth was not going to let another one of her cats die. Mm. She ran over to the snake and started beating the crap out of it.
Mm-hmm.
She hammered the snake with her fists. Over and over until it finally let go of little Tuffy, who ran back into the house unharmed.
That's Australian for menopause.
Great story.
Because you've got to have some facial rich. Hair and a hot flash. You're going to take on a python.
Right. I mean, how does a 58-year-old woman take on a python? She says it was adrenaline.
Look, that's nature taking its course. If I see a python eating my kids when I come home, I'm going in the other room. Just call me when you're done. I'll enjoy their silhouette through your belly. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to break that one up. That was meant to be. You're interfering with God.
Right.
You understand?
Sure. The python is hungry.
Mm-hmm.
There's a food chain.
That's right. Who are you to interfere? It's like when you build a time machine. You can't disturb anything.
Now, what if it's Sunny, Natalia, and Molly?
Mm-hmm.
Who do you protect?
And the python is eating all of them?
The python is lunging towards them.
Let's see. Where's Ozzy? Can I call him to get the python? Because I don't want to get my hands dirty.
It's a good idea.
And by the way, Sonny's too fat to get down any python.
You think the python could ingest Molly before it could ingest
yeah.
Sonny?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Molly's a big lab.
Good 70-pound lab, but still easier time than Sonny.
What are the kids up to these days?
They're in space camp right now.
Weight-wise.
Weight-wise, he's morbidly obese, and she's a pixie. That's where they are. Mm-hmm. Let me ask this very quickly.
Yeah.
I know news is over. Maybe I should bring it up tomorrow morning, but I was driving to dance practice yesterday, and I got behind a Mini Cooper. and it had a vanity plate on it, and it said "Gay Mini" on it.
That's redundant.
I was going to say that, except for it was the exact same Mini Cooper I used to have, and exactly the same color, and exactly the same model.
That's how I knew Mini Coopers weren't gay.
And I was laughing, yelling, "What a gay car!" And then I realized I could have. It was the same color, the same model, and everything else. Then I thought, now when it comes to the vanity plates,
right,
you can't just put anything you want on it. If you want "Gay Mini" on your license plate, you probably have to prove that your name is
or
gay.
Or that you mean happy.
Yeah, but that I mean happy. There's a lot of words that mean a look. The F word means cigarette.
Right.
In England, you're not going to be able to pull that one over on the sharp tax over at the DMV. I'm just saying, and again,
it wasn't gay Y. It was G-A-Y. I mean, G-Y.
G-A-Y.
Huh.
Remind me to bring it up in the morning. Maybe we'll get an answer.
But I will.
There are laws with vanity plates. The guy driving it, was his name gay? Or was he gay and his name gay? Because if your name's... He was a guy, you would assume he was gay.
So that was
If
that.
You drive a Mini Cooper with the license plate, Gay Mini, why don't you give us a call tomorrow? Meanwhile, that was the news.
Oh, yes it was.
Tomorrow's news. Today. Teresa Strasser.
Thank you. Now I can sleep tonight.
All right. Let's all ponder that. We'll take a quick break. Wrap it up next.
Now, here's another Adam Carolla comedy clip from Dane Cook.
You know what I hate? The one thing I hated growing up more than anything else? I hated being tickled. Tickling is the worst. Because it started off fun. Right? Tickling started. Tickling! Let's tickle! Started fun. Ended horribly. Didn't it always escalate the same way? At first you'd be like, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, cut it out, stop it, I'm gonna throw up. And they couldn't stop, they were like, I don't care. I had to punch my grandmother in the chest to get her off me.
More Adam Carolla coming your way next on 97.1 32 HD, SoCal's high-definition FM talk station.
I'm Jeff Garland, and you're listening to 97.1 32 HD, the FM talk station, where the FM stands for Grandma's Balls.
Yeah, I'm already tired. All right. Hey, want to give some thanks where thanks are due. I want to thank Jenna Jameson for coming in here. Zombie Strippers in Theaters. G-A-Y. April 18th, Tito Ortiz.
He loved to smoke poles.
He's got a little book called This Is Gonna Hurt, out June 6th. And if you want to hear this show in its entirety, you go to free2hd at adamcarolla.com. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Teresa Strasser saying mahalo. Good news for you, I'm still an American. Bad news is, I love dudes.